This is PFW in progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just said is bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're giving me here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine you're a deer. You're prancing along, you get thirsty, you spot a little brook, you put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water.
Bam! A bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants a son of a who shot you was wearing?
I think it's time to say something, right? Okay, good. We're on the air. Dan's distracted. What's going on in there, Dan? Nothing?
Is that the first show that ever started with, all right? You didn't start with your normal
well,
all right.
I'm waiting for
I think it's time to talk.
He usually gives me the cue. But nothing happened. He was just talking to somebody else in there. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Who the hell are you talking
to? He needs the cue. How long has he been doing the show for?
He needs something. It's not the cue.
All right.
Where's our food?
Welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred, Paul, and Andy are here. Is Eric in today?
Haven't seen him. Your mic's not on.
Is your mic on? Paul, your mic's
on. My mic's not on. I feel like Fred.
Paul.
All right.
Why'd
so,
you call him Paul?
I was watching Samuel's thing, by the way, Andy. He definitely was not in the end zone.
No, I know. But it's like he realized it before the ball even hit the ground.
Yeah, I think it might have had something to do with, I think it's Stuart Bradley who kind of ran right next to him.
I thought he was going to give it to him.
Yeah, it was a weird thing. It was almost like I think he, at the last minute, he was kind of startled by him and went to bring it back, and then he dropped because there's no even hesitation.
He goes right after
it up.
Which I don't know how you could make the mistake exactly. And drop it and know – a millionth of a second later.
I think he was. I think
was
he may
looking
have been
up?
Startled.
The only
by
thing
it.
I didn't know was he doing one of those where he was staring at himself in the big board and.
No, it looked like he was going to give it to the guy next to him, and then the guy wasn't looking, and he realized, he doesn't know I'm doing it. And
it was a weird play because if that rolls out the back of the end zone,
yeah.
Anyway, we're here to talk about Patriots, not the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ex-Patriot.
Big win for the.
Well, to continue that theme, he stepped in front of Dante Stallworth.
I saw that
to pick off the pass.
Big win by the Patriots, 49-26, kind of a laugher over in Oakland. Oakland is just in disarray, but it's exactly what the Patriots needed to keep pace because both the Dolphins and Jets won, although the Jets shouldn't have, and we'll talk about that, I'm sure. But we'll talk about all the playoff scenarios today, what can happen for the Patriots to get in. There's obviously a number of ways. But team's looking good. Matt Cassel. Looking okay.
If they could play the Raiders every week, they'd be great.
Oh, we finally got one right, by the way.
That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Get the horn ready.
The game was
PFW Progress, Patriots Football Weekly, everything we previewed.
Yeah, we've been pretty good predicting whether or not they're going to win or lose, but the game hasn't really gone. You know, we all thought they were going to beat Seattle, but let's face it, none of us thought it was going to be that difficult. But this one, right down to the way the game was played, we said, you know, with the few things to worry about with the Raiders were big plays and special teams. Those kind of happened, and we just
and
felt
Zach
like
Miller.
We just yeah, and Zach Miller offensively, and we just felt defensively the Raiders had nothing. They had the second to last ranked rush defense, and the Patriots averaged an absurd 7.1 yards per carry as a team, which is just ridiculous. So finally, the three of us actually were on board with the way the Patriots actually played.
Yeah, so. Good for Matt Cassel, 4 touchdown passes, the most in his career, coming off a tough week, losing his dad. You know, I have to say this, and not to sound insensitive or anything like that.
Too late.
But when all these people are saying,
uh-oh,
you know, he showed what the team meant to him, and he showed, you know, his commitment to the team. Well, what if, you know, he didn't play because...
Okay, I thought you were going to say something different, but I wholeheartedly agree
with
you.
Yeah, what if he didn't play? Does that mean he's not
there was a test,
to,
you know? Bill Belichick gave a nice testament to Matt Castle at the end of the game, and everything he said with I thought was really nice, but there was one part of it, Fred, that you just touched on that I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
He showed a real commitment to the team.
Right.
And I didn't like that. If he didn't play, was that showing not showing a real commitment to the team? Was he any less committed to the team?
Everything
else that Bill said I thought was so well done and well spoken. And I know that he didn't necessarily mean it that way, but because, I mean, if you heard the whole thing, you know that Bill wasn't saying that there was any
he
way.
Was raving.
No.
He was said raving. Any accolades
right.
he gets.
Right.
All the accolades he gets this week he'll deserve. He really stepped up and played really well in the face of adversity. Everything that Bill said was spot on. I just didn't like the terminology of that one thing.
Yeah,
and I think he would probably rethink that if he thought about
it. You just can't judge somebody in that position. You really can't, no matter what they do.
Something that some of our media should be reminded of. I was a little disappointed in some of the media members because Matt came in. Everyone said, oh, okay, Castle's going to go to the podium. And I think everyone assumed he was going to do a normal post game. And he went up there and basically did – you know, not a prepared statement, but said what he wanted to say, thanking everybody for the support of the week and all that, and said, that's all I wanted to say, thank you, and walked out. And there was a number of media members who were like, oh, that's it, he's not going to answer questions. Well, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do anything. He doesn't owe you anything.
Right. I'm sure this was tough.
That to me is unbelievable.
He wanted to get the hell out of there and now take care of his other business.
Along those lines of commitment to the team, though, but did you see, Paul, Doc Rivers' comments on somebody.
Eddie House.
When he said he's going to be with his family a lot longer than he's with us. Which I thought was appropriate. That's the way it should work. I know you feel like your job or your team is your life at that point, but you're going to be a Castle for the next 80 years. You're not going to be a Patriot for the next 80 years.
Yeah, and that's why I say I know that Bill didn't mean it literally like that, but I wish that there was and I think it's more less with Bill and more with what Andy's talking about, kind of the overall tenor around the situation. Like, wow. You know, he really, you know, showed, the, you know, the team. He's a team player. I mean, you didn't think he was a team player the last 14 weeks?
Right.
You didn't think he was a team player the last 3 years when he's sitting there working his butt off in practice, knowing that he's not going to play, but preparing like he's going to? I think he's a team player. I think we knew that, you know, heading in. I thought it was a terrific performance in light of the, you know, the adversity that he obviously didn't have an ideal week of preparation going back and forth. You know, give him. I agree with Bill. All the accolades he gets this week is certainly well deserved.
Big props.
Plus, you know, just a side note, the rain. You know, I brought it up earlier in the year. We've never really seen him deal with all these adverse conditions and terrible. It was pouring. I mean, it was an absolute torrential downpour at times, consistent rain at others. And I thought he stepped up and handled that flawlessly. I mean, I didn't think he was affected by the weather in any way either. So I thought he just put his head down and did what he needed to do to lead the team to victory.
One throw in particular, too. I know it's easy to say, well, it was Oakland, and look at all those wide-open receivers, and there were a lot of them. I mean, do you ever see Wes Welker that open?
Unbelievable.
The way he was in that game? But the first touchdown to Moss, the one in the corner, right in front of the pylon, that was pretty good coverage. That throw had to be perfect, and that was a dangerous throw because if it wasn't perfect, it might have gone 99 the other way.
That's right.
Perfect throw by Matt.
Yep.
Just perfect. It was almost like the one to Moss in the end zone against the Jets. You know, it was really the only spot that really his guy could make the play.
Yep. So that was a good game by Matt. Good game by the running game. We know that the Raiders' run defense is very lowly rated. So you expect them to have success, but that's encouraging when. Even when you're supposed to have success, to have that type of success
and to do it
is good.
Paul and I talked about this earlier. Some of the success they've had on the ground this year, and they're now ranked seventh in the league, and they're going to have one of their best seasons in 20-plus years, has been spread it out and then run. This was more traditional running the football. They did it with a different group of guys. Lamont Jordan almost hit 100. Sammy Morris hit 100. Both guys averaged over 7, and one of them 8 yards a carry. But this was lining up and pounding it, offensive line, owning the line of scrimmage. There was no fake run. You know, this was just really running the ball, and that's what I found impressive. Even if it's the Raiders, I don't care if it's some Pop Warner team. You controlled the line of scrimmage and imposed your will upon them.
As far as the running game, Matt Light left the game with a shoulder injury, it's reported. But slight separation, although he might be able to play. That's the report that came out of both the Globe and Herald.
And Bill said there was nothing of a season-ending nature in the injuries. And it's only 2 weeks to go, so the most you could miss would be one game, and then you'd have to be back, or otherwise it would be a season-ending injury.
He did give himself a little bit of an out there with that, saying nothing between the game and his information from the game until when we got home.
But to be that definitive, if he had any doubt in his mind, I don't think he would have said anything like that.
Yeah. No, I don't think so either, but you never know. I mean, he goes through some treatment, and maybe it feels a little bit worse 2 days later than it was. And maybe he's not on IR, but maybe it costs him one of the two games. And that's significant. That would be a significant loss.
We'll talk about Arizona as the week goes, but I would think that the Arizona game plan might be a lot like the Colts game plan, where it is try to keep control of the ball, long extended drives, to try to keep the Cardinals' offense off the field as much as possible.
Because that is the one problem. Even killing the Raiders, you still allowed some big plays through the air. You still had some guys wide open through the air, and they don't have anybody. I'm sorry, Chaz Schilens is not a starting NFL receiver. Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald are all pro-caliber receivers. So that remains a concern.
Right. So the running game, I would think, right now the forecast is supposed to be between 20 and 30 with a chance of snow showers. So some precipitation for
Thanks
Sunday.
Thanks for coming, Cards. Kurt Warner. Bye-bye.
But that's an early forecast. But assuming that it is cold and maybe a little slippery, again, running game becomes a big factor. So you might need Matt Light on that game. So we'll see.
Although LaVore did a fine job. I thought he stepped in and played very well, as he's done when he was earlier in the year, stepped in.
Yep.
I think he's shown to be maybe next in line in getting that 3 or 4 year deal here as a backup tackle, as next in line.
All right, so the trip out to the West Coast are done. The Patriots, of course, stayed out for the week, and it worked out for them, winning both games this time. We had a fly-out commercial on Friday, and we'll never complain about a charter flight again. That's for sure. We flew out on a sardine can, and it was packed. And Paul almost didn't even make it onto the flight.
Paul fought a couple different airline representatives at various times throughout the day.
That's how badly I needed to get to Oakland so I could cover the Patriots for PFW in Progress, our listeners, our readers, our fans.
They pre-printed out our boarding passes, but the only persons who didn't print out was Paul's for some reason. I guess his name was spelled wrong. So
the other Italian in the group, Mark Capello from WBCN, also didn't have his.
Our listeners don't know who he is.
Yeah, so. But I just wanted to point it out. In this day and age, prejudice against Italians, you'd think that wouldn't happen.
So Paul had to go to the counter when he got to the airport to actually get his boarding pass, and that was quite a to-do. He stood in line for half an hour, and then they told him he was in the wrong line, and that's the point where Paul lost it.
Well, that and the point where he walked up to the open window and the woman just walked away like it was, break time, gotta go.
Well, that's the funny thing. He's on this line, and there's one lady that's in the, other services line.
Additional assistance, I think it was called.
Line. So Paul's on that line. His time comes up. She leaves. So then he goes over to the next counter and gets on line there. She comes back.
Like it was candid. The timing was just too perfect. Yeah. It was like it was set up for TV.
Yeah. And people are cutting him. This guy with a leather jacket just walks right in front of him.
Totally disregarded Paul. Just slid right in.
Yeah.
There was one lady who was there for about, 75% of the time. You were there undressing, had 17 bags and Lord only knows what.
Yeah.
And the whole time, by the way,
but really,
Fred and Andy were about 20 feet away heckling.
While all this was happening, it was annoying, okay? But I was really fine. It's just that kind of airline stuff that you understand can't be avoided. But the thing that set me off was the guy. There was a gentleman there kind of facilitating things at the ropes, telling people where to go. You'd tell him what your particular problem was. He'd put you in the right line.
You nicknamed him. What was his nickname?
Nah, we don't have to get into that. So he comes up to me and tells me, you wait right here, points to the counter that I need to go to, and you'll be all set. And the gentleman from WBCN, Mark Capello, he's been on this show. Fred, our listeners know who he is. Mm-hmm. We waited for a good half hour. Mark got up there and goes to the one side that's open. The other side was the place that Andy was talking about with this woman who was there for days, maybe at least 45 minutes, and she just never left. I don't know what her deal was. So finally, Mark gets finished. That's when the guy with the leather jacket just cuts in line and gets up there. So now I go to the other side. The woman walks away, and I'm sitting there trying to get someone's attention. Now comes the guy who's sort of facilitating everything, who tells me I'm in the wrong line.
Right.
And I said, I'm in the line that you told me to go in. And he says, no,
speaking
you're in the wrong
in his,
line.
You know, when he gets red and his arms moving a little
so
bit
now,
as an Italian.
Now I got mad, and I pointed at him. I had nothing to do with Italian. I said, I'm in the line that you told me to be in. And the guy behind the counter, who had nothing to do with any of this, it wasn't his fault, he started getting a little bit of an attitude saying, you know, because I was obviously upset.
Right.
And I immediately apologized to him. I said, I'm not yelling at you, sir. I've been waiting in this line for 45 minutes, and this is where this gentleman told me to wait. If now you're telling me I'm in the wrong line. Anyway, it took all of 10 seconds from that point. I handed the man my ID. He gave it to me, punched out my boarding pass, and we were on our way. So the long story short here, too late, I know, but we probably could have gotten this all done from anybody. Any line
right,
that I waited in
right.
would have been appropriate, and it probably would have taken all of 5 minutes.
Yep.
But I knew that Andy was going to have a good time explaining how I yelled at some airline guy.
You did.
So
I did.
Other than that, though, it was a good trip and with good results. So
well, also the fact that Oakland Alameda Coliseum sucks. The media in that area sucks. Some old guy had to keep the window open. There's no heat in the press box. It was like 12 degrees. Somehow it was colder inside than it was outside because Al Davis doesn't provide heat for the media. And this clown who has some radio show says, I like the window open. Well, who cares? We don't. Shut it.
Well, yeah. I always say that you can judge the state of a team by how many old farts are hanging around the press box.
Well said.
And, you know, Oakland is one of those. There are all these old sycophants that have, you know, they wear the black leather jacket and the black turtleneck because they all think that they want to be like Al Davis. And they hang around this press box and, you know, it's just the way, you know, things are over there. They're just living in the past.
Everything except for their fans, I give their fans credit for some dedication and what they try to bring, stinks in Oakland. The team, the management, the stadium, the top to bottom, ownership down through everything else, stinks.
Yep. So, all right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. And by the way, thanks Dan Tugender for lunch.
Hey!
Dan Tugender said that you know he feels obligated to buy us lunch because of all the lunches that we indirectly provide him. So,
I think we directly provide him.
Well, I think our listeners provide it. But anyway,
thanks Dan.
Thanks Dan for calling.
Thank your sister for last night.
Ooh. All right, but on the phone right now is John from L.A. John, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good. I'm in a good mood because the Patriots won, the Ravens lost, and I just found out my porn machine does email.
What?
Never mind.
I see what you did there.
See what I did there? I'm surprised Andy didn't get it right away.
I got it. Just wasn't funny.
Oh, it's funny.
Now I know why you didn't make it as a writer.
No.
That's good stuff. I wish I could be making $27,000 like you.
Whoa!
Instead, you're a waiter.
Anyway, yeah, I've never waited tables. I love that you make that joke every time. I couldn't possibly wait tables, and I want to drop everything.
I love that it bothers you.
So you obviously believe.
So you were a busboy?
Yes. No, I was a barback. Oh. No, actually, I'm a writer.
But throwing those salary numbers out, you obviously believe the gentleman that used to work here that no longer does, huh?
Oh, no. Did that number match up with what?
No.
Who shall not be named?
No, it didn't. But I know that's what he used to like to say to everybody, so everybody felt bad for him. So, obviously, it worked.
I don't think we need to feel bad for him anymore, no matter what happens.
I agree. Now, what about the game?
So, about the game, the Jets-Bills, that was the worst non-Bledsoe late game turnover I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that was just
heart-wrenching.
Oh, I was in the press box watching that, and I just could not believe that play. It was just inexplicable how you would call that play from the sideline.
Yeah, I think it's inexplicable how you call the play, especially considering it's Lossman. And even though it's Lossman, I still was like, even Lossman can't do that. Come on. I mean, just get rid of the ball. You've held it too long. It's awful.
You know, I could see if you're behind and that's the last play of the game and you have no other choice. But you're second and five, You're running the ball all over the Jets. They can't. They have no answer for Marshawn Lynch. What's the problem here? Why not just keep doing it? I just don't get it.
See, that's the only part of it that I know he's getting killed, but the only part of it that I questioned was you were having so much success running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
These people that are talking about there's 2:06 left, you know, just run the ball and punt. Why? That's the worst way to try to win a game.
Right. You want to get first downs.
You want to get first downs, and you do that whatever way you can. Now, the problem here is they were getting first downs by just running it right down their throat.
Mm-hmm.
There was no need to do anything different. And I heard Jerron say, you know, that's a perfect time to throw the ball with 2:06 left because the two-minute warning's coming anyway, and even if it's incomplete, that's all true. That's all 100% true. There just was no need to try to get yards by throwing it when all you had to do was run it.
Yep.
There was no need.
So.
Yeah. Why is Ty Warren telling people he won't be on the field for passing downs? I mean, I know it will become clear when passing downs happen and Ty Warren isn't on the field.
When did he tell someone that?
Oh, I mean, it was. I saw an interview with him. It was either the day before the game. I think it was a day or two before the game.
I didn't see that quote. I mean, I know he won't be because I know he's got a groin problem, but I didn't see him say that I won't be playing on passing downs. I missed that.
Oh yeah, he said he was going to be playing on running downs.
Yeah, I missed that.
I just feel like that's. I mean, maybe I'm just being an overreactive Patriots fan, but I think that doesn't go with how they operate.
Well, Paul and I talked about this a little upstairs. They've tweaked their dealings with injuries a little bit.
When would you ever see Bill say what he said about
the season ending, though, even the Wilfork saying definitively that he was going to play? Just the whole thing, for some reason, the injury window has opened up a little bit as far as what's allowed or what is done by Bill, because he's the one who makes that decision.
Hmm. You don't think that that's a team thing that they actually talked about?
No, I don't know.
I don't think it's something
just
they
taking their cues from
well,
the guy up top.
That's what I think.
Okay.
Bill's talked about it much more openly over the last 6 or 7 weeks than I ever remember him doing.
Okay.
It.
Maybe he just got worn down
because
at some point he started talking.
You know,
about
I could
him.
See. You know, for example, Seymour has said some things about, you know, not liking the fact that he hasn't been on the field more,
mm-hmm.
and maybe the linemen all, you know, have gotten together and said, you know what, screw this, we're just going to start saying what's on our mind.
I don't think that
no.
happened.
Okay. No.
I think probably on some level Bill has mentioned it or talked about it a little more openly, and they've heard him talk about it, maybe in meetings, maybe outside of meetings, whatever, and they've just sort of taken their cues. Because everything the players say comes from Bill. I mean, you go into a post game, and it's amazing how 50 of the 53 guys will be saying the same words, and you know those words came because Bill said them 15 minutes earlier.
Matter of fact, we do a lot of times so they know that they can say something. A lot of times we'll say, Bill just talked about fill in the blank. This week it was, you know, Bill talked about the importance of the fast start. Everybody was asking their questions that way.
And every player but Teddy Bruschi believes you.
Right.
He goes, I don't believe you.
Right. That's accurate. Teddy. Oh.
That's smart of him. They could be setting him up.
No.
You know?
That's why I hate
there's
him.
A lot in it.
No.
There's a lot in it for that report. I'm going to lie, get him, so I get that one story. It's a wise course.
You don't think that's been done before by reporters?
Not very often, no.
Oh.
Ooh.
Can
all
I make
right,
a couple suggestions about the website real quick?
Sure.
Ready.
First of all, whoever's doing the roster report, you can never hear it on the iPod. Like, it's so quiet compared to the rest of the, like, compared to still in progress.
Really?
Well, we just turned and looked at Two-Gender, who's the one who does it, and he just held his hands up like he doesn't know what to do.
Two arms out at the side with a shoulder shrug.
He's so like, I bought lunch.
I guess nothing can be done about that, but I got a good steak bomb from D'Angelo's.
The other thing is, can you guys, is there any way to do, without it being too much work for you guys, do a best of podcast where you go back to the whatever database you guys have, and like I would love to hear the podcast that happened when Brady got drafted, if you guys have it, or like from the year after Drew got the week after Drew went down, or after Brady led them back in the Charger game when we signed Rodney Harrison. Is there any way to do that every now and then? Just put one out there that.
It's a good idea. I don't know.
I don't know about the practicality of that, though.
How's that zinger thing?
I don't know how hard that would be.
Now,
well, you kind of have to
realize
the
Brady one we couldn't do, I don't think, because I don't think we did it then.
2001?
2000.
Oh, yeah.
I think we started in 01, didn't we?
Well, we were doing it in Walpole.
Hey, I thought that was 01 that we started.
Was that 01?
You might be right. It might have been 2000. But I thought it was 01.
Are those all archived somewhere?
Oh, no. We did do it for... I can't remember.
They weren't podcasts back then because podcasts didn't exist.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure about what we've got in the archives.
That's why I said the practicality.
I think going forward, we should say, okay, this is the draft. We should put this one somewhere. And, you know, the producers should kind of tag things as they go along, knowing that, you know, this will be part of the best of at some point. So it is something to think about.
Neither guy's listening behind the glass right
now.
They're just having their own discussion.
I do like the idea because I do think it's interesting to go back when
it's what
something
we do,
hasn't
draft
happened.
Things.
Yeah.
Remember, like,
well, that's why we did it this
publications
year,
publications are saying and stuff. And...
But we also did our own database this year
for
draft picks. So then you can go back and look. You know, like flat out, when Brady got hurt and Bledsoe – I mean, when Bledsoe got hurt and Brady took over, I'll be the first to admit, I thought that was it. Season end, zip, all done.
I believe I'm saying Chad Jackson. Pro Bowl before his rookie contract.
I thought it was all over, so I'll be the first to admit that I had that 1,000% wrong.
Yep.
Richard
be.
Seymour, when they drafted Richard Seymour, I wanted to resign.
I wanted you to. I mean,
yeah, you were.
I wanted a wide receiver.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, I was dead wrong.
Now, Paul's always been a lot like Borges in a lot of ways.
But those are the ones that stand out when you're like so completely ridiculously wrong. Like, Andy, when you always make the joke about the point counterpoint.
When they never lost again.
When they lost at Washington to go 2-2 in 2003, Andy said
they
had all these injuries.
The
Andy
report.
Legitimately said and argued, passionately, by the way, that they should just not worry about the rest of the season and play for the draft pick. They went 14-2 and won the Super Bowl. I mean, just
good stuff.
The theater of the absurd. I like those.
And
short answer, John, no, we don't have them.
We can't do it, but we can tell you all the things that we said, though.
So Dan, you should probably think about, you know, tagging some of this stuff, keeping it in the archives to, you know, kind of point out these guys' faults and validate my genius.
Which one went, Ty Law's coming back because they gave 24 to Dexter Reed.
Yeah, can we get that?
You want to bring that one back?
Whatever.
Can we get the draws always work out of the empty backfield?
Empty backfield, best time to run a draw.
All right, you know what the hell I meant.
Be like Asante Samuel just dropping the ball.
By the way,
I
think Andy has found a new office wife.
I don't want to say it, but I know who it is.
I don't know where this is going.
Well, I think
it's
Eric.
I'll let you get yourself in trouble.
I think it's Eric.
Okay, I'm glad I didn't say anything.
Because I saw them Sunday morning.
That would be an office fling, I think.
I saw them coming from breakfast Sunday morning.
Well, we could get married if we wanted
in
Massachusetts.
There was a glow about them. The two of them walking together.
Let's put it this way. Andy likes Eric a lot more than he lets on.
Yeah.
He would not make fun of him anywhere near as much as he does if he really, really...
Well, that's true or not.
If he really, really disliked
any
him.
Any port in a storm, and I don't like going to breakfast by myself.
You should know I got a little wiener.
Plus, the glow was from the breakfast. That hotel had the best food we've had since that Arizona trip with Filet.
Well, I also noticed on the flight back from Oakland...
We were sitting really close to each other and were the only people on the plane who had to sit that close?
No, but you were sharing one blanket. So, I mean, that kind of tipped me off, too.
And the blanket was going up and down.
And Eric had a quart of yogurt on his back.
Oh,
oh come on.
Get rid of
Dan.
John.
Dan.
Two-gender, what are you doing over there?
Did you hear what he just said? Come on.
Guy's making inappropriate reference.
Blow him up!
He doesn't know how to do that. You're an idiot.
All right. Dan.
The goodwill of that lunch just wore off.
What's the matter today? You're usually more attentive.
You're distracted.
What's the matter?
Doctor and I are talking.
Who? Doctor, you had your back to him. What's
the
going
proctologist.
On? I told you didn't have to buy lunch. Is this really killing you now? The fact that you... I look. Here.
Drove him to drink.
He's wondering how he's going to make rent.
You want? I'll give you $10. All right?
$10 the hard way.
I want you paying attention to the show.
We need to go over Anthony.
You know what he did to me last week, by the way, Andy?
What did I
in
do?
In Seattle.
What?
You know, he says, I don't like to go to breakfast by myself, so that's why he goes with Eric. He calls me in my room, right? It rings three times. On the third ring, I pick it up. I was in the bathroom, which is why it had to ring three times. But I come out, and I pick it up, hello, and he hangs up.
Well, no. Cause
you know why he hung up?
He sounded like
I was asleep.
So I just hung up.
So you wake him up just to hang up on him then?
Yeah.
No, I was going to ask him to breakfast, but I assume, hey, he's sleeping.
Well,
he doesn't want to go to
Carl,
breakfast.
You guys totally blew me off Saturday night.
Well, I
that's your fault.
I'm still wondering
my
what
fault?
You're doing.
Yes.
Why did you say
Why?
Anything?
Because you've set the precedent where when we don't hear from you, it means you're big-timing us and you're with a craft
we actually
or
talked
a higher
about
up.
It. We actually talked about
if
it.
If we don't hear from you, because when you want to take part in our little, you know, low-level antics of going to, like, Applebee's, then you call us. Otherwise, we know you're at a $100 a plate kind of place with somebody rich. You didn't call us all day, so we assume that's where you were.
You guys went out. No one even called me. I was in my room all day working on the 2009 budget.
That's not good.
That was due on Friday. I'm a day late.
That's why you didn't want to go to breakfast.
Well, I had to work.
No, on Friday when you...
You see,
got in your little argument with Jonathan. If you want me to go, I'll go. But if you don't want me to go, I'll go.
See these little things? That's why he can't go. Can you imagine me putting together a budget?
No,
are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
I can't.
Anyway, Fred, I'm quite certain that if you wanted to come out,
so heavy.
If you wanted to get out with us, you would have called.
No, I didn't call because it was like
4:30. And we were home by what, 7?
Yeah,
I think I may have been asleep at one point before 8 o'clock. Then I like shook myself awake and got up and I started like checking email and doing things. So I said, I can't fall asleep this early or it's going to be a miserable night.
I watched another offbeat movie. It's called The Zero Effect. It's with Bill Pullman and Ben Stiller from 1998, detective movie. Really good.
Does
offbeat.
Ben Stiller ever do anything that's like a serious movie? Not.
No, this wasn't a. This
not
wasn't
that it has
comedy.
To be a dramatic, but like you say, offbeat, like it's a, like some kind of a spoof or something.
Well, it was just.
What does offbeat mean?
You know, it wasn't.
It means you force yourself to laugh.
The characters might have been a little quirky or something like
if
that.
If it's funny, it's funny.
No, it wasn't a comedy.
What's the name of that movie again?
What?
Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder was good.
I watched it on the flight home.
Terrible.
It wasn't terrible. You're wrong.
Terrible.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as Fred thinks it was, but it wasn't terrible.
Terrible.
I mean, Tom Cruise alone was worth it.
He
not
stole
being
the show.
Terrible.
That's what everybody says, and he was in like 4 minutes of the movie.
Oh, he was in a lot of movies.
Come on.
I can't believe
See,
that
you
he
weren't
got,
even paying attention.
I can't believe that he got considered a cameo, by the way.
What did you have? One of your global headaches that day or something?
What's a global
when
headache?
You have a headache, you have a headache, it's like the size worldwide. Of the world. You know, it's you not only have it for yourself, you give it to everyone else.
What is he talking about?
And
why are you breathing so heavy?
And your head's the size.
Why are you? Because he's.
Well,
he's
I'm eating
happy.
Potato chips.
So that makes you breathe heavy? Paper thin pieces of potato?
Hey, on the phone is Dave from the Philippines. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I wanted to thank you for that lovely airport story. I'm leaving in like 45 minutes to go to the airport and spend 24 hours on 3 planes and 4 airports with my kids and my wife. And it just makes me feel so good to think about what I'm in for.
Are you coming back here?
I am, yes.
Great.
What's the how does that journey work? You said 3 airplanes?
Yeah, I have to go from here to Japan, then from Japan to Detroit, and then from Detroit to Boston.
Jesus.
Well, who the heck wants to go to Detroit?
That's the hub for Northwest.
I'm
so
just
all the
kidding.
Flights
How old are your kids, Dave?
There.
Huh? How old are your kids?
They're 12 and 9.
Okay, so they're not
just had little... birthdays last month.
Okay, so... They can kind of occupy themselves.
Yeah, pretty well. It's not as hard as when we're.
You got.
A little
I'm 30 and cannot occupy myself on a plane.
Well, you're an idiot. But they have. I assume they have like PSPs or iPods or something like that.
They've got DS lights, and I got myself a new iPhone and just loaded 8 gigabytes of the music onto it. So
okay,
we're all ready to go.
Nice. Now, those flights might have the TVs in the back of the chairs.
Not in the seats I can afford.
No? Oh, okay.
They weren't in the seats we could afford either on the way out to San Francisco.
That's true. Yep. All right. So what else, Dave?
Hey, listen, I'm going to try and catch up with you guys Thursday. We've got that Cordoba thing that I won a month or two back. I sent an email. Dan should take a look at that. The guy from Cordoba said hi to me once and then never replied to anything else. So we got to figure that out.
Okay.
And maybe Thursday I'll come by and say hi.
That sounds
nice.
Good.
We'll be here.
We will.
All right, guys.
All right.
Let's get back to talking about the game if you want to get back to talking about
If we start.
The game.
I don't think there's much about that game that we need to talk about.
All right, Dave.
Actually,
enjoy the flight.
The Bills, the Jets game was more worth talking about.
Yeah, at least you got the help with Baltimore, though. At least you got some help there. And
But it could have been a great day for Patriots, and it turned out to be a
No, I know, but... you know, I think it was pretty unlucky that the Jets won the game. You know,
the way they did, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I was.
But I think you were pretty lucky to win the Baltimore. You know, to get that game too.
Yeah.
You know, I give the Steelers all the credit. They did drive 92 yards, and they would have had a fourth down play, but I'm not sure that was a touchdown. And I surely don't think it should have been overturned based on the replays that I've seen.
Yep.
I'm just not sure which I'm going to be more depressed about. You know, the way we lost the Super Bowl last year, which had me, you know, basically committed for about 2 months before I could talk to anybody again. Or if we go 11-5 this year after losing Brady and after the, you know, the loss we had in Indy that we should have won, And the loss we had overtime to the Jets that we really could have won, you know, losing it on a coin toss. And we go 11-5, we don't make the playoffs. That's going to be, I don't want to think about that.
It's still worse, though. The Super Bowl is still far worse. I mean,
nothing will.
The greatest season in NFL history.
I actually think there is some, I don't know what the right word is, but something noble about being able to say, yeah, we went 11-5 and didn't make the playoffs. That's the best team since the format changed in 1990.
And it's got more of a positive slant than we made the playoffs and lost in the first round. Because that, I mean, there's a chance that happens.
I would rather make the playoffs and lose in the first round than go 11-5 and not make the playoffs. But I think there's an element of, I don't know, pride.
Sure.
Nobility. I mean, hey, we were the best ever.
Hey, you got it out of season.
I think the organization can be proud of the fact that you lost your starting quarterback in the first quarter of the season.
Absolutely.
And you lost a lot of other key players over the course of the season, and you still went 11-5.
Yep.
I mean, that just shows the depth of the organization from top to bottom.
And
people could take pride in that.
I think, you know, just the Matt Cassel story alone kind of made this a great season to watch. You just feel so good for him, you know, having sat behind Carson Palmer and Matt Leinart, sat behind Tom Brady, and then you finally get your chance and you do it, you know? And I think
I definitely think overall a lot of the games this year were more entertaining to watch as pure football, you know, taking aside that you're a Patriots fan and you want the Patriots to do well. But from a pure football fan's perspective, this season was a lot more interesting to watch. You know, first of all, there wasn't a big distraction about Spygate and stuff hanging over your head that just took everybody away from football last year. And then the games were competitive, a lot of them.
Yep.
You know?
All right.
So you can take that. All right, guys, I'll talk to you in a couple days.
Okay, Dave, safe travels.
Yeah, thanks.
Stay sane.
Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Or Dave from the Philippines.
Stay yourself.
Let's talk about the Jets in Miami for a little bit. Of those two teams, I think Miami is playing better right now. Now, their offense isn't playing that well, but I think their defense is what, if they do win anything, is what's going to do it for them. The Jets, on the other hand, I think they're on a downward spiral.
Well, they're clearly on a downward spiral, but I think Miami is just a more even-keeled, consistent team. They don't turn the ball over on offense. They play some defense. They're built as a team you'd want to avoid because they're not going to – Brett Favre can shoot himself and the team in the foot at any point, and that team in general, I think, is questionable. You don't know what you're going to get. Sure, they were a Super Bowl champ 3 weeks ago or a month ago. Now they're fighting for their lives.
Yeah, and I wonder if maybe Chris Jenkins is just out of gas. He hasn't played a lot of football. When was the last time he played a 16-game season?
Yeah.
And he was playing so well, and that run defense was absolutely dominant through about 12 weeks. And now, this is 3 weeks in a row that they're really struggling, and Buffalo offensively has nothing. And what little they do have has been when Trent Edwards has played well. Well, he didn't even play. And all of a sudden, from what, halfway through the second quarter on, they couldn't stop Buffalo the other day. The Jets' special teams are terrible. Well, at least they were on Sunday. Their run defense was terrible. Their tackling was terrible. And after a really good offensive start, they did nothing down the stretch in the fourth quarter. They couldn't get a first down. So Miami, I don't know what to think of Miami. I don't know how you guys feel about this. But doesn't it seem like every week when we're in the press box and we're watching the scores – it's Miami 10, 14-0, 10-3, 14-3. And then all of a sudden you look up and the other team's got the ball within a score at the end of the game and they have a chance to win. The Dolphins seem to dictate right off the start how the game's going to get played, and then they have to hold on. I got to think at some point they're going to play that game and get burnt on it, you know, in the late going. I mean, they did it against Seattle. They did it against Oakland. They did it against San Francisco this week. The only one that they didn't really get, Buffalo, they got a lead, and they kind of maintained the lead throughout. Defensively, they haven't allowed a touchdown in three games. I got to tell you, I don't think it's a very good defense.
Yeah?
But bottom line is they went three games without giving up a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Well, that's how I feel about the – like, I don't think the offense is great, but they don't turn the ball over. They put up enough points generally to be competitive
or
win.
My point is they're not winning with offense. They're winning with defense, and I don't think the defense is that good. I think it's
but
a testament
winning with
to
offense
the team.
In that they never turn the ball over.
They don't.
As long as they play that game, they're going to have a chance.
It's a great formula.
And that's why I think I'd be scared to – because they're not going to shoot themselves
like,
in the
would
foot.
Would you think of that defense as a defense that can be on the field for 38 minutes and only allow 9 points? That's what they did
the
other
day. No, but the league stinks.
Well, I mean, that's the larger point here is the league stinks. I mean, the league just flat out, this is a bad year for the league.
Which is why a team like Miami, that you just play relatively fundamentally sound, you can win some games.
And I know that I get made fun of for this all the time.
Your weight?
Well, among other things.
Your baldness?
To me, there's no secret.
Wow, now he's paying attention.
To me, Fred, there's no secret to the fact that there are three AFC East teams all in the running for the title. All could end up 11-5. Now, all three can't be 11-5
right,
together,
right.
But they all have a chance right now to finish 11-5.
Right.
And there's a common denominator with those three teams. They all play the same schedule. And it's the weakest schedule in the league by number.
AFC West. NFC West.
By the numbers, it's the three. They all play the easiest schedules in the league, and they're all, to me, playing to those schedules.
Although the Jets went 0-3 in the West.
No. I'm talking about the whole schedule.
Right.
It's a weak schedule. They all played weak schedules. I mean, the numbers, I mean, according to their opponents' winning percentage and all that crap, they're weak schedules.
Yeah, but now, but actually, it's better than it when it started at the beginning of the season because by virtue of playing each other, all those teams are now above 500.
So what teams?
In the beginning of the season, you looked at the schedule and said, oh, this is an easy schedule for the Patriots because you're playing Miami. You know, that
I knew
was,
I was going to get made fun of.
But now Miami has, like you said, a chance to go 11-5. So
I'm not talking about the division schedule.
No, but that's part of your overall schedule.
Well, if you want to put it that way, then the Jets and the Dolphins' schedule is easier then. Because they didn't play the 16-0 Patriots.
But also, you know, you look at the Jets and you say, well, you know, they had an easy schedule, but some of the easiest teams on their schedule, they've lost to.
But that doesn't mean that it's any harder of a schedule, Fred. It's an easy schedule.
No,
they beat Kansas City. They beat St. Louis.
I
they
know.
Beat bad teams.
But I think that...
They beat Arizona.
I only think there's like five good teams in the whole league. So unless all five of those teams are on your schedule, everybody has... beatable games.
I mean, the only really bad team that they didn't play was Detroit. They played all the other bad teams, Cincinnati, Kansas City, St. Louis.
But there's a lot of these teams
Arizona,
out there,
they played all the worst teams in the league. Now, they lost to Oakland. They lost to a really bad team. They lost to two really bad teams. They lost to San Francisco, too.
Right. I just think that there's not enough good teams in the league.
Period. End of that
right.
Return.
That's my
right.
point.
For
right
somebody
there.
To say, "Oh, we've got a real tough schedule," because unless
you're going to try to tell me Pittsburgh, with what they've gone through over the last 2 months, is in any way comparable to what the AFC East teams have played?
No, but the Patriots played Pittsburgh.
They played Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh played Dallas, Baltimore, Giants, Philly.
They played all the good teams because
Indy.
they had the NFC East this year.
Right, and that makes their schedule tough.
Yeah, that's a tougher schedule.
But, you know, I think that that's one of the few teams that had a tough. Anyone that had to play the NFC East had a tough schedule. You know,
so Baltimore,
and they also played the AFC South, which is probably the strongest division in the AFC.
So
when you play Indy and Tennessee, Houston and Jacksonville, that's a lot better than San Diego, Denver, Oakland, and Kansas City.
Right. Right. That's true. That's true.
Should bring up the Pro Bowl.
We should also bring up Anthony in Naples.
Oh, Anthony sent us a little care package today.
Sort of. Even though Brian Morey hijacked it in the museum.
Anthony will get a kick out of this.
Well, here's what happens. Anthony labels the box Paul Perillo HOF, Hall of Fame. So they get it down in the receiving department here, the loading dock, and they see HOF. They disregard the name Paul Perillo, and they send it to the hall at Patriot Place. Whereupon Brian Morey gets it and decides to open it,
right?
Even though it says Paul Perillo. Yeah.
Did they not see the newsletter?
Even though he says that it wasn't open.
I guess not.
It was already opened.
You're so full of it.
Well, they might have to open it just to check it because of 9/11. I think they do open packages here sometimes.
I've gotten sealed packages.
Yeah, I think it's random. You know. I do. I honestly think
Brian opened it to see what was in it.
Anyway, so we finally got it. We finally got it. There was only one bottle in it, though, so I'm not sure if Brian took anything.
There was more than one bottle. We all got very nice gifts.
Yeah, we do appreciate it.
Even though you're from Alabama, according to the receipt.
Well, that might be his distributorship. He might put in the order and it gets sent from there.
No, it said Anthony in Naples, Alabama.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it was just a screw up.
Oh.
I assume it, because he's.
From Florida, I thought.
Has a pool business.
Yeah.
Dan, did you want to say something?
Thanks, Anthony.
Okay. So some nice vodka in there and some nice tequila for my margaritas.
Top shelf, top shelf.
Top shelf. Good stuff.
Yeah.
That's all you drink.
Very nice. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Anthony.
Anthony.
What was the other thing I wanted
the
to
Pro Bowl. I just Pro said Bowl. Pro Bowl. Right. Today's the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, but we can't say anything until 4
o'clock. No, but we should discuss it, pose it as a topic. Who's going to make it? Who's not going to make it? Who might make it? Who's going to get screwed?
Before we get into the Pro Bowl, I just want to go over the playoff scenario, just so we can kind of wrap up that whole discussion.
Okay.
To me, the most direct route for the Patriots is obviously win your last two games and Baltimore loses to Dallas. Then you're guaranteed of a wild. Then you're in the
you
wild.
To, I thought you were on the division bandwagon.
No, I want
week.
To do that, but I assume that one of either the Jets or Miami would lose this week, and they didn't.
Right. Yeah, I thought, and I said last week, I thought it was a better chance of Baltimore losing twice than the Jets or Miami losing once. Yeah,
pretty much everybody except Fred did.
Well, I predicted the Bills to beat the Jets, and I was wrong.
Now, all that, wrong. I mean, certainly both of those teams could have lost easily last week. I think that'll be a tough game, and it's Saturday night, by the way.
Yeah.
Baltimore-Dallas is
yes.
Saturday night.
Yes, it is.
I think if you're a Patriots fan, I think we need to root for T.O. to get a Pro Bowl snub, which he shouldn't make the Pro Bowl. He hasn't had a Pro Bowl season.
Yeah.
I think we either – I suppose there's two ways of looking at it before I commit. I think you could say if he gets snubbed, he might want to go out there and, you know, put up a whirlwind game, which obviously Baltimore would have a hard time with. But I suppose the opposite side is you could pull an oil can Boyd
right.
and flip out
right.
and bring the whole team with him, and then all of a sudden Baltimore comes away with a win. But
I think trying to react, predict his mental
yeah,
state.
Yeah, that's why right in the middle of my point, I kind of rethought it. You never know how he's going to react.
Was that sickening or what? The end of that game with the good ship lollipop and they're all on the sideline,
you know,
buddy, buddy. It's just sickening.
I feel bad for Tony Romo. I do. I mean, I know that he's a Cowboys quarterback and – look, you guys got a
banging
lot of
Jessica
money.
Simpson.
There's a lot of more important things
got
to worry about.
A lot of
about,
good stuff going on.
But I think he's a pretty good guy, and
right.
I think he's a pretty good teammate based
yep.
on the way he talks and
yep.
the way he acts.
Yep.
No one deserves that crap, just like I felt bad for Donovan McNabb for going through it in Philadelphia.
Get rid of me. Trade me. Release me.
You know, he's got to sit there and put up with this charade.
He is so self-absorbed, T.O. It's unbelievable.
But beyond that, I still believe he's nuts. I mean, I think he's nuts.
Oh, I think, yeah,
I don't
certifiable.
Think there's anything
about him. Yep.
There's got to be a name some doctor could label for whatever he has because
oh,
there's
yeah.
something wrong with him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. you got run by D'Angelo Williams, by the way, against
pretty,
Denver.
Pretty good player now.
That was reminiscent of the Marcus Allen touchdown run. They talked about it on ESPN, too, but it looks exactly like it. Goes right through the cuts back, right up through the two hash marks. It's a great run.
But going back to the playoff scenario. So that's, to me, the most direct route. Baltimore loses to Dallas, which could very well happen. Dallas is playing pretty good defense right now. And, you know, so they could pull off this win. It's in Dallas, I think, the game.
It's in Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then the Patriots, you know, somehow find a way to beat Arizona and then finish off
I
the Bills.
I think the Patriots are going to get the help that they need. Either Baltimore's going to lose or the combination that they needed to happen for the Jets and Miami is going to happen. I think the hardest thing right now is finding
Arizona.
A way to win. No, both games. They have to win both. Yeah. Not just one.
But don't you think if they beat Arizona, they will beat Buffalo?
No, I think they're going to be two very tough games.
Okay.
I think Buffalo is going to be a tough, tough game at Buffalo, and I think this game might be tough, depending on if Andy's right about Kurt Warner. If Kurt Warner plays a good game, this is going to be a very tough game.
Oh, God, yeah.
If he plays a bad game, then the Patriots are going to
right.
win handily.
I agree with
turtle.
That. I just think that if they beat Arizona, which, you know, again, Arizona has the one thing the Patriots fear most in a passing game.
I do think that your theory about the way they'll play offense, I don't think they'll run it, but I think they'll try to
control
the ball.
Ball control. Yeah.
I don't think they'll line up. I don't
high
think
percentage.
I don't think they can do what they did Sunday to too many teams in this
yeah.
league.
Probably
I don't think
not.
They can line up with two tight ends and a running back and say, here we come, you can't stop. I don't think they can do that too many
right.
to too many teams.
But I just think
that
if,
was one
if they beat Arizona, they won't. There's no way they're going to lose to Buffalo. I just don't think they'll allow
I don't know
that.
How you can have that confidence.
I don't think this team is good enough to say there's
with the
no
personnel
way they
that
lose.
This team has right now. I don't know how you – I mean, they gave up 28 points to Oakland. I thought the point that you made in your edit letter
– 26.
Well, they missed two extra points.
That's true.
The point you made in your edit letter I thought was really – I didn't even think of it that way because the game was such a laugher. And I never thought – I gave you the nod, by the way, at 0-0.
That's correct, you did. You right? did. You gave the nod
after
at 0-0.
After the three and out, I said, all right, they obviously didn't show up to play.
Right.
And I kind of felt like the Patriots are going to win the game right then and there the way they won it. And I don't want to get too overly concerned, but the plays – and Andy made this point. The plays that happened were exactly the way they've happened all year.
Yeah, Johnny Lee Higgins over the middle.
Guys going. Got, you know, tight end down the seam. Guys making big yards after the catch. McFadden is a dynamic guy. They haven't been able to control guys like that. It didn't look like there was anything to be further encouraged by defensively. And I think the health is only getting worse. You know, Ty Warren looked, you know, is not going to be any better. Vince Wilfork's shoulder is not going to be any better. I'm concerned. I'm really concerned about winning these two games. I think that might be the hardest thing that they have to do.
All right. We've got a lot of emails that we'll get to right after this.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
The New England Revolution have the perfect shopping plan to avoid crowded malls and long lines during this hectic holiday season.
Oh, what a save, Reese, again!
This year, get everyone on your list the Revolution Holiday Pack. With the Revolution Holiday Pack, you'll skip the lines and they'll get tickets to four soccer matches of their choice. And they'll get to pick their seats before tickets go on sale to the general public. Plus, they'll receive a limited edition, full-color 2009 Revolution wall calendar featuring their favorite players. We know managing the holiday budget is more important than ever, and that's why the Revolution Holiday Packs start at just $76. We even offer flexible payment plans. You can pay $25 now and the rest in 09. Get your holiday shopping done quickly and easy by ordering the New England Revolution Holiday Pack. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and give the gift of Revolution Soccer. Pride.
Knocked down, it's loose.
Passion.
And it's in.
Revolution.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Patriots fans, this holiday season, there's more reasons than ever to head to the Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Not only will you save big, but you could win incredible prizes just for shopping. Enter the Ultimate Holiday Contest, and you might win a VIP game day experience, a tour of the hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon, given by a Patriots Hall of Famer, dinner with the head coach, and much more. Plus, get a free Patriots gift with any $50, $100, or $200 purchase at the Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Can't make it to the stadium? Log on to PatriotsProShop.com and take advantage of the $5 flat rate for shipping on every order, regardless of size or destination. The Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open year-round, Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. Stop in or log on now and enter the ultimate holiday contest at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room. In-store promotions not valid on game day. See site for details.
Inside the Hall is one of the newest additions to Patriots.com radio, featuring Patriots and NFL Hall of Famer Andre Tippett and former PFW writer Brian Morey. But wouldn't two Hall of Famers be better than one? I mean, why isn't Hall of Famer Paul Perillo co-hosting?
Dan's going to try to get Paul Perillo on the phone today from PFW.
Oh, that'd be nice.
He, too, is a Hall of Famer.
I know he is.
So,
recently.
You know, being inducted into the Boston University Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I congratulated him and everything, and I tried to get him get him ready for the experience, because it's a wonderful experience. I told him no matter what Hall of Fame you get in, it's still a special honor, and to be recognized in that fashion says a lot about who you are as a athlete, a competitor, and a person.
So maybe we'll get him on the horn after and have him talk.
I think they went to go to their television show.
Oh, they did?
Oh, okay.
He's such a media whore.
And now, back to PFW in Progress, featuring Hall of Famer Paul Perillo. Unless he's on the big show or shooting something for Patriots Today.
Okay, back here in PFW in Progress, Matt from Quincy writes in, Fred, I killed you when you recommended The Life Aquatic, which remains to this day the single worst movie ever made. So now I have to give you big props for The Zero Effect. Funny as hell and totally original. Bill Pullman is great, but the girl who plays the paramedic is a little weird. I have to admit, I'm surprised. Usually your taste in movies is terrible, so I have to either give you credit or rethink my opinion of The Zero Effect. I guess I'll have to watch it again. It's Matt from Quincy.
I'd go the latter.
Speaking of Matt's, Matt from Connecticut is on the phone. Matt, how you doing? Matt.
This is where you talk, Matt.
You probably hung up because I told you he was on about 15 minutes ago.
Well, so what? I mean,
this is a radio show.
A radio
Sometimes
show.
You have to wait.
We gotta stop talking because somebody called.
We're breaking down the playoff possibilities here.
Come on. All right, Matt. If you want to call back, I'll make you wait another 15 minutes
as punishment.
Let's see. TG wrote about Oakland. He says, watching that game on Sunday, that black hole really lives up to its name. You got Lord Sauron Davis up in his tower, reigning over his minions, the lost, enslaved, delusional fans dressed in their Middle-earth battle garb, the vulture-like seagulls circling overhead. It's just really presented an image that smells of death.
That was surreal, by the way, those seagulls.
I'm now fully convinced that franchise will never be healthy until Big Bad Al is dead and gone. So you can't help agreeing with that. I'm telling you, it's really not a good scene over there. And, you know, it's like I said, you know, Goodell should be there to take over the team eminent domain or something, because they need new leadership. Chris from formerly the Bronx, now from Connecticut, I'm sure you'll discuss Benjamin Watson's hands and Buffalo's woes, but here's a topic that I can't get out of my head after Sunday. What do you do with the Raiders? I think you could spend hours playing GM and going over what to do. I'm not even sure where to start. I'm curious what steps you guys would take, not necessarily to bring Oakland back to their former glory, but to at least stop their current 6-year skid. So
you know what the biggest problem is?
They need a new GM or owner or whatever.
But it's not even they do need that, because
they need a new owner is the
right,
bottom line.
Because they can't fix their real problems with him there, because the problem when you talk, and I was talking to some of the players, some of the Patriots after the game, and one of them talked about one of his buddies on the Raiders, and he called it, it's worse than death row, is the way they said it. Guys that play for the Raiders can't wait to get to free agency to get out of there. And guys that go to the Raiders will only do so if they're ridiculously overpaid, and it's almost, you know, it's almost impossible to turn down the money. So that's not a good combination to try to get a team built. When you have guys that don't want to be there, that are already there that don't want to be there, and then the guys that come there are only doing so for the money, that's how you lose. How you lose, what is it, 11 games, Andy?
Six straight years,
11 or more losses. That's not going to turn around until the entire face of the franchise has changed, and that can only happen when Al Davis dies.
By the way, in their home games, they introduced the team as the winningest NFL team. I mean, that's just crazy.
I think we should start an ad campaign just saying, you know, the most read NFL newspaper.
Right.
I know it's impossible, but the issue is the culture.
That's what I'm saying.
You can't
do that unless you get rid of Davis.
But I'm talking about the players. Players specifically. And in my mind, players, people in general, there's a wide middle ground. There's like 5% that are lazy, malcontent jerks, and there's like 5% who are leaders, can lift everybody else, can be positive forces. Everybody else is going to fall in line with one or the other. Right now, Oakland, they're all falling in line. Even good, even guys who could potentially be good guys falling in line in the bad end, because that's just what goes on there. I think a lot of those guys, you bring them here, would fall in line behind Tom Brady and Mike Vrabel and would be fine players.
Oh, we talked.
So the issue is getting a couple of those good guys in place to rein everybody else in. But, again, I don't think that can happen.
It starts from the top.
But we talked about it during the week, too. They're not without talent.
Right.
Individual talent. And even the players.
The quarterback is.
A lot. Yeah. The quarterback is as bad as everybody's writing about, by the way.
Well, speak of William Berry, your favorite emailer, wants to know, is Seneca Williams that much better than Jamarcus Russell?
Seneca Wallace?
No.
I don't think he is better. I just think that he had a good game against the Patriots, like a lot of teams do. And in theory, and if you want to get, for all practical purposes, that was probably one of Jamarcus Russell's three best games as a pro.
Yeah, I mean, Sunday. His numbers weren't that bad, really.
He stinks.
He stinks. Yeah. He's terrible. He missed more wide-open receivers by the widest margins I can ever remember seeing in an NFL game.
And he dropped his own ball, so.
And he's a taller, richer Rohan Davey is all he is. And Rohan Davey was far more accomplished in college.
Terrible,
it's the same
terrible
guy.
Mechanics.
Oh, has a strong arm, but a long throwing motion. The accuracy is zero.
He does
absolutely
have terrible
zero.
Mechanics.
And he's never going to change.
He just looks awkward.
He thinks he can get away with his gun because he's had a gun all his life. He's not that good, and he's never going to be good.
Andy and I were talking about this during the game. How many times did he take the snap and immediately turn his back on the rush as if to spin away?
Yeah.
And then he would turn around, and he turned right into somebody.
Yeah.
Like he's avoiding pressure with these spin moves.
And believe
that he didn't
me,
have to.
That stuff can be scouted.
Of course,
I mean,
those are
tendencies.
Especially when it's a guy like Mike Vrabel that he's turning into, who's more
cerebral.
But who's a better candidate on the Patriots defense to be studying and picking something like that, that tendency like that up on film than Vrabel?
Yeah.
Fred, he's so bad. I said to Paul, he was like a Disney movie, The Before.
That was funny.
Like, you're waiting for whatever happens that makes it this great turnaround story. Yeah. But he's the before. That's how bad he is.
Hey, on the phone right now is our provider of things to drink, and that's Anthony from Naples. Anthony,
Alabama!
How you doing? Alabama? What about Alabama?
I don't know. That's what it said on the return receipt. It said Naples,
on the slip,
Alabama.
It says Anthony in Naples, Alabama.
Oh, really? You know, it was one of those automatic things, and I caught that in the end, so hopefully, obviously, it didn't affect anything. That was just weird. Now it's Florida.
Now, did you hear our story about what happened to your package?
Where's your package?
Yes, what happened to my... Did you like the who it was addressed to? Hall of Famer Paul Perillo?
Well, because of that, it actually went to the Hall of Fame.
No, it did.
Yes, it did. So Brian Morey actually got the package and opened it up.
Shut up.
Nope.
He did. He didn't take anything. Well, let's check on that.
Yeah, what did you send?
What did you send?
I sent four pieces.
Okay.
Okay, we made it.
Okay.
All right.
They all made it.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. That is great.
We all took one. Even Dan took one.
Maybe.
Although I did have to card him before I gave him the bottle. I'm not sure he's 21.
Good. So I just wanted to make sure you took one, right, Paul? Because you're a little picky.
No, I took one. I did.
Okay, good.
I took
a little picky.
Well, we shouldn't really talk about specifically what it was, should we?
No,
probably
you,
not.
You took one.
I took one.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So,
I appreciate
Merry
that.
Christmas.
Thank you very much.
And New Year's.
Thank you.
All right, good times for that. What was I going to say? So you're pretty much bashing on Jamarcus Russell right now, huh?
Oh, God, he was awful.
He stinks.
He had like three passes early in that game that he could not have possibly been off target by more. Just high, like two of them. A good 5 feet over the guy's head, so high that the receiver didn't even put his arms up.
Right. And one that was so far off, I think it flew by Lewis Sanders, and it was
it
absolutely
him.
Flying, and he thought a missile went by his head, but off by 5 yards. The guy, as Denny Green would say, he is who he thought he was. He's not a leader. He's not a good quarterback. He just has a ridiculously strong arm.
You know, I feel bad, like, bashing on the kid, because every interview that I see, well, especially before he got drafted, he seems like such a nice kid. You know, just he's pretty down to earth. It's just, unfortunately, he just got really, really overhyped.
Right.
You know, being with LSU, being with all those athletes, and you can get away with it. Listen, if you're 6'5", 260 pounds playing quarterback in college, I hope you can complete some passes and get away from the rush.
Yep.
You know, and that's the difference. He got overhyped with a great LSU team.
You're right. He should have been like a fourth-round developmental pick.
Rohan Davey.
Absolutely. And
he wasn't that good in college. That's the thing that, he only played 1 year.
He won that job on, like, the eve of the season.
And in that year, he was very inconsistent. He put up, a lot of people complained about this, I remember, during the pre-draft process, that a lot of his numbers were put up against the really bad teams on LSU's schedule. And when he played good defenses in the SEC, he didn't fare as well. You know, the Auburns, the Floridas, teams like that. I don't know specifically which teams they played his year, but a lot of people said that he was not as good as he was being given credit for, and you see it now with his mechanics are just terrible.
Oh, yeah. It's just like the perfect storm for the kid, you know? Just like they won the national championship that year, and I think that was the year, right? Yeah, with Nick Saban. Pretty confident.
I don't know if he won it. Did he?
No.
I thought they beat up on Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl his senior year, last year.
Yeah, that wasn't the year that they bought it. But anyways, and a lot of people with egos come in, they're like, oh, you know, he's got the mechanics, not the mechanics, but he's got the arm and he's got the size and I can go in there and I can train him. And then you get mixed into that, Al Davis, who's delusional old man, you know, sees this huge cannon of an arm and he's like, oh, I got to make him number one.
Yep.
I think that's why Andy's point is accurate, though, because he does have those tools and I can coach him up. That's why you take him in the fourth round and you develop him. I think he would have been a great fourth round pick.
Yeah. It makes you wonder if the Raiders didn't have that number one pick, how far he would have fallen.
Well, yeah, you know? it certainly seems like everybody else was enamored with him, too. I'm not just going to beat up on the Raiders here, but I don't know. I never liked him. I thought he was dramatically overrated, and I think it was a horrible pick.
Yeah, well, maybe because you're in the media and then you have to look at them face-to-face, so I'll bash him for you. That organization is awful.
Who is?
Awful, absolutely awful. Those guys do not try in the field. The coaching obviously is disastrous. Nobody, you know, I'm not saying anything out of the norm or anybody else can, you know, observe. And it almost like I was cringing watching the game because everybody got overly excited whenever the Patriots, scored a touchdown or when they were up and on the kick return. And I felt like yelling out in the bar. I'm like, the Raiders suck. You know, that's what I felt like doing. It's just like it meant nothing to me. I just felt like they were going through the motion.
Well, it would have meant something to you if the Patriots struggled. So the fact that they beat them the way they did is good. It's
beats the alternative.
Yeah.
Sunshine Fred, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, but I kind of agree with Fred this time, and I'm usually the negative one. Like, you went out, and as everybody said, you took care of business.
You did what you're supposed to do.
Sometimes that's not easy.
No points off for that win.
They did what they were supposed to do, which was great. But it's just like, it was just looking at the Raiders. It's a shame.
Yeah.
I look at it, you know, that organization can make so much money for the NFL, for themselves, because they have such a loyal fan base. And I feel like that's totally unfair for what they're going through.
I agree. That's who I felt bad for, because I do think their fans, whether you want to make fun of them for all the costumes and crap, they're loyal.
They're loyal, but they're losers.
They may be losers, but they deserve a team to root for.
Me.
They deserve to be able to focus that passion.
Yeah, but even the black hole that everyone talks about,
losers.
From what I can see, it's about 100 strong.
Well, what do you expect?
Fred, now
11 losses in a row for 6 straight years.
Hey, then they're not that loyal.
Wait a minute! If you give us only 6 years,
I gotta tell you,
if there's only 100 of them,
that stadium should have been absolutely empty on Sunday.
It was pouring. It was cold.
No, I'm talking literally empty.
Yeah, I know
those people that wasted their
credit.
Money.
I give. And plus, I need to mention the 85-year-old redheaded woman who gave me the double barrel birds on the way in. Big fan. She's my fan of the year nominee.
No kidding. Right. I don't know. And you know what? I would think for you, Fred. I think it affects your paycheck, as in the NFL as a whole. You know, if they do good, the NFL.
Oh, that's true. That's true. They are historically one of the better selling, you know, shirts and caps out there, and I think they still are in the top 10. But you're right. I mean, you're only as strong as your weakest link. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And they honestly. The NFL should do something. I don't know. I don't know why they just can't go in there and say, "Okay, Al, go to retirement
That's
home."
That's it.
One of his relatives.
Yeah.
Have one of his relatives literally keep it quiet, like claim him insane and get him out of there.
They got to take it over by eminent domain.
But he can't do anything because he's trying.
I know.
He's not doing it the right way. But he goes out and spends money every year, so it's not a Bengals thing where he doesn't spend any money. He goes out and hands hundreds of millions of dollars to the wrong people.
He's trying.
Yeah, but then he just keeps firing coaches like, you
but
know,
he's trying.
I know.
You'd be more angry with him.
If you're trying the wrong way, what does it matter?
It means you stink, though, but the league can't come in and take it over. If you're not trying, that's one thing. If you're hurting the league by not – but he's trying. He's just trying the wrong way. He's
but
dumb.
What about what he's doing with his coaches? You think that's trying?
I think he's trying. It's still – it's ill-advised. It's the wrong way to go about it, but he's trying.
Well, I think
he wants to win before he dies.
I think Anthony might be onto something. We need to get him certified. Yep. We need a piece of paper that says he's certifiable.
Yeah, I'm sure he won't challenge that in court.
Oh, fine. In the meantime, somebody else is running the team, so you get – you know.
Is he the lone owner?
I don't know how that works. Because
it's
there.
A weird ownership situation.
Yeah, because he's not a kind of guy that like came from money.
No, he came from football and just kind of made his way up the ladder.
Yeah.
And somehow
he
was
a coach
owner
first.
Yeah,
right?
And it's not like he has like in the oil business or like the crafts or in the paper and cardboard business. He didn't make money.
No, he worked his way up the Raiders.
So I don't think he's got a lot of money himself.
And I don't think he's the sole owner. Yeah. I just think he's the majority owner.
I mean, he was born in Brockton, Mass.
July 4th.
Yeah,
a long time ago.
Yeah.
He was in Brockton, huh?
Yeah,
yeah, he's a
new little known fact.
Yeah.
Oh,
place down the Cape.
I thought he was a Jersey guy or New York.
No. No.
Well,
no.
We just know he was born there. He might have moved the day after he was born.
For some reason, I think he did move to Brooklyn maybe at some point. I might be mistaken there.
Probably.
Yeah, because I could have swore the way he says the Raiders.
Yeah, the Raiders.
To me, that's a Boston accent, the way he says the Raiders.
Yeah.
Think so? The Raiders?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's a Brooklyn accent. I don't know.
He had
that's
to me
kind of
he
similar
a,
that
he,
Italian Brooklyn accent.
Well, he has
like
a touch of a New York accent. I hear sometimes. What? Well, look it up. Look it up in the.
Okay, I'm on it.
In the black and silver media guide there.
The Commitment to Excellence guide.
Yeah,
but you know, as
Brockton, Mass.
Down here.
I know he's born there, but I wanted to know if he.
He really isn't paying attention to
You're
us
not paying
today.
Attention today.
What do you want to know?
Where. Through his life, does it say, like, if he moved as a young kid? Because I know he's born in Brockton, but he has a tint of New York accent. Not a taint.
He attended
tint.
Syracuse University.
No, I'm not laughing at that. You go to their staff directory.
His pictures from 1967.
No, it says Al Davis. To the right of it, nothing. It doesn't say owner, doesn't say CEO, doesn't say chief anything. It just says Al Davis.
He has no title.
His title is his name.
Patriarch.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got too many yes men. If Roger wants to make more money as in Goodell, I think he goes to Al Davis and he says, just let me help you. Let us get this back to where it needs to be. You know, let's put like some sort of GM in there to help you out. And Al, just sit back and relax. You know, try to reason with him. But sometimes, listen, I live down here in Naples, Florida, and in Marco Island, so I know a lot about 80-year-old-plus delusional people. And when I look at that man on television, that's what he reminds me of.
Yeah,
and you fleece them for their pool bill, don't you?
No, I don't.
not as far as you know.
No. What's great is that I don't have to deal with him for a lot of the year, because pretty much all I see him for is a couple of weeks in the wintertime, and that's about it. So, which works out well.
Okay.
But I'm glad you enjoyed your gifts, guys.
Thank you very much,
Anthony. Thank you very much.
All right, have a good one.
Anthony in Naples.
He moved to Brooklyn at an early age.
Did he?
He did move to Brooklyn.
I knew it. It says... raised in Brockton, Mass, and moved at an early age to Brooklyn.
So that's where you get the accent from. That's where you get.
I have no problem with the yes men in Oakland either, because all this we're talking about, these yes men are trying to fall in line to take over, run the franchise, be in prominent positions when he kicks it.
Yeah.
Well. Although he might be one of those guys that just doesn't die.
You can't.
Oh, here it is, Fred. After his, there's interest holders listed in the media guide. Jeannie Buskaki, Rita Buskaki. Jack Hartman, Bob Seaman, Dory Vale, and Gertrude Winkenbach.
Sounds like a bridge group. Like they get together on Sundays to
or
play
a bridge.
Porn.
Ginny Buskaki.
I bet you they're all like average age, 80 years old. I'll bet you.
They don't get bios or anything, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'll bet you that they're all older people who kind of, you know, are on the sideline and don't really care that much. Barry Insion was at the game and gives us his recap because he brought over a group. He said, we made it in and out of Oakland safe and sound and had a great time seeing the Pats put up their biggest score of the season. We met up at Jillian's in San Francisco in the morning, which was a great call as there were no Raider fans harassing us there or even on the subway ride to the station. We got to the Coliseum. We heard some verbal taunting, but it was nothing like the last time the Pats played in Oakland in 2002. Where the Raiders fans pretty much attacked anyone wearing anything with a Patriots logo on it. According to our ticket sales rep, they've made concerted efforts over the past couple of years to clean the place up and get rid of the troublemakers, which seems to have been somewhat effective, or maybe it's just that their three-win season has left them apathetic. In any case, we were glad that we never had to use the text alert system that most NFL teams now have to report any trouble. It was hard to tell how many Pats fans were there, as many did not wear team apparel to avoid harassment or were covered up in ponchos and rain gear. Early on, the weather teased us into believing that it would be just an off-and-on light drizzle, but it actually rained almost the entire game and got harder as the day went on. Even the Bay Area locals with us said that they rarely get that much rain. We got a kick out of seeing Kelly Washington rile up the black hole, and then again on the sideline near the end of the game. Everyone had a great time, and if any Pats fans listening are interested in meeting up with us at any future road games, make sure to join the Patriots Tailgate Club, which can be found in the F-Core club listing on Patriots.com. And yes, I really did write that, Andy. That's Barry from the Orange County.
No more Yahoo or whatever it was.
Well, you can do that too. But
he just a little more on Davis. I'm skimming his bio. He is the principal owner and president of the general partner. I don't really know what that means in business terms. President of the general partner.
Well, I guess that's the group that you just, mentioned. So
it's interesting. It is a little bit vague, kind of what the dynamic there is.
Yeah, well, in the NFL, you first of all, you're not allowed to be owned by a company. You have to be owned by one majority owner. So no matter what, Davis has to have at least 51% of the team. So he's the controlling all. You can only have one guy that they have to answer to. It's unlike baseball where you can be owned by a company. You know, like
the Red Sox.
Yeah,
owned
like
by
that.
8 billion different
right
entities.
But in football, there has to be one guy who's ultimately the guy, and that's Al Davis.
Isn't John Henry the principal owner of the Red Sox?
He is, but I don't know if he owns 51%. I think he owns the most, which could be 30%.
So there has to be one guy that has more than 50% in the NFL?
Yep.
What's the reason for that?
That's just the way they set it up. They don't want to have to – they want to be able to have one guy that has controlling power over each team so they can get things done.
Kind of like the Atlanta Hawks, the issues they had with the ownership groups and the board of governors kicked out one of them and brought the other one.
Yeah, the only exception to that is the Green Bay Packers.
Well,
they're grandfathered in.
Yeah. Right.
That's a different thing. But, isn't there – I know so little about business. It's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. Isn't there always one guy that's the majority holder, regardless of what that majority is?
No, but if it's a
like Andy said, if it's 30%,
but then the other the other 60-something percent want to go the other way,
right?
Then the majority together wants one thing, but the majority owner wants another, and you get into an ugly legal battle.
Or it's a CEO that answers to a board of directors, and they don't want that either. So. Mm-hmm. Michael from I don't know where, he says, Benjamin Watson, people who should be cut. Get rid of this guy. He can't catch. You can't get a better pass than the one Castle sent his way on Sunday. Every time I see the ball go his way, I think turnover. And J.P. Losman, are you kidding me? We should be tied for first with Miami right now. Way to screw it up, Losman. I still think the Jets have a good chance of losing next week in Seattle and then beating Miami the next week. Buffalo lost that game on Sunday. The Jets didn't win it. Well, that's the way we all think, but what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, I thought it was a strange game, by the way. Did you watch – were you paying attention?
Yeah.
You know, in that – because the Jets, I thought, were a hair away from blowing that game wide open. They're up 14-3. They're moving the ball downfield. Midway through the second quarter, it looked like they were going to make it 21-3. Favre throws a pass that hits Coles in the chest. He drops it. To compound that, he pulls a Watson on the way down and kicks it up in the air, and it gets picked off,
yeah.
And all of a sudden – they couldn't stop Buffalo. From that point on, they could not stop them. And they ended up in a dogfight, and then they were very, very lucky to win the game from that point on.
Yeah.
But I think if they had continued that drive and scored and made it 21-3, the game probably would have been over the other way. And that's, you know, some of the stuff that we wrote about after the game, too. Yeah, they played Oakland. The Patriots played Oakland, and they blew them out, and that's what you would expect. But wouldn't you feel a lot less confident right now if the Jets had blown out Buffalo and Miami had blown out San Francisco?
Right.
I mean, I know that in theory, Bill's right. Every game is its own entity, and it doesn't matter. But I just think that you'd feel less hope
Right.
That those teams were going
right.
to slip up against bad teams.
They're not playing at the top of their game when it means the most.
I mean, if the Jets had beaten Buffalo 38-3 on Sunday, I wouldn't feel any confidence that they were going to go and slip up again to Seattle. But the way they were lucky to win the game, I feel like there's hope.
Yeah.
Same with Miami, with Kansas City. Kansas City has played almost every game very tough.
They've actually gotten better as the season goes. The record doesn't reflect it, but they've actually played better as the season has grown old.
But so, with the Jets.
Surprised. Carl Peterson, by the way, we should mention, resigned last night.
Do you not believe that
someone
the Jets are a decent team, though, and
what?
Could be due for a
yes.
A two- or three-game winning streak
yes,
where they go out and go back to that team that looks
could.
Like a
yeah,
Super Bowl
I
contender?
Absolutely do. But that's my point, Andy, is if they had put one of those together on Sunday, I'd probably say to myself in the back of my mind, okay, that was just a two-game slip-up. They've got it together now. They'll probably go and do the same thing to Seattle. But now I'm looking at it as like, even though they won Sunday, it's three games in a row now that they've kind of struggled, and maybe they haven't gotten it together. Maybe it's mental, which I think it is with the Jets right now. I think it's a combination. I think they're a little bit out of – they have some older guys I think are a little out of gas, not the least of which is the quarterback. I heard Mike Greenberg talk about that this morning, and I totally agree with that point. He looks like he's tired. Woefully underthrew that ball. He had that guy open and underthrew him by a good 5 yards. That got picked off by McGee.
Yep.
I just don't think they have it going right now.
Okay.
Now, that said, they're still playing whatever it is, a 3-11 team in Seattle. They really should win that game.
What the? Oh.
What? Who the?
Jackson's sick, by the way. Did you know that? You're Jackson.
Okay, why do you know that?
What?
What do you mean?
Deirdre told me.
Why are you talking to Deirdre? Who hates it when people call her Deirdre? There's no R in it, she always says.
That's the way Imus says his wife's name.
But I think
it's
two different names.
Really
there's
a name. Deirdre.
There's names
there's
with an R.
Deirdre.
And there's names
like
without
D-E-I-R-D-R-E.
But I go with Antoine Jameson, and it's spelled Anton.
Yeah,
and it's a birth. A mistake on his birth
certificate. Oh, really? I didn't know
it was
that.
Misspelled.
It was supposed to be
W-A? I think
W-A?
Deidre's was, too, but I don't tell her.
It was supposed to be W-A?
Does that mean she's listening? Why? Is she listening? Is that?
I don't know.
I need to know if I need to, you know, not be my normal self.
Matt from England writes, in good win last Sunday, although how bad are the Raiders? Surely there should be no excuse for being that bad. One of the games on TV over here last Sunday was the Arizona game, so I was flicking over periodically, and it seemed to me that the Cardinals have completely mailed it in. With the weather supposed to be around 2 degrees and the chance of snow Sunday, how serious
that's
a threat
than what Fred said.
Do you think
it's
the Cardinals
to be like 31.
Be? Yeah, I don't think I saw it between 20 and 30.
Cuz if it's 2 degrees, zero chance of Kurt Warner winning.
Yeah.
Can I stop this? Did you see the guy on the Buccaneers that had his name legally changed to like Styles D something from the Teen Wolf movie?
No. I didn't see that.
It'll come up on
your guy needs
again.
To change that. Change the laws.
Obviously,
on name
your guy. Reebok's not upset about that because they're not selling a lot of his jerseys.
Yeah, it was a no-name player that I never heard of.
They're probably happy because now it's a one chance they might
also,
actually sell.
Right.
Sticking with the Bucks, Derek Brooks started 222 games in a row. It's like tied the, I don't know, some record.
Yeah.
And he's doubtful for Sunday with a rib injury.
Matt from England goes on, looking forward to the Cowboys against Baltimore Saturday night for a win. The Cowboys, and we really do have a legitimate chance of the playoffs. Finally, an early contender for Andy's word of the day, Arizona Fireball. Not something that sounds that appealing, but you guys may feel differently. And finally, something for you, Eric. Look up Mincer in the Urban Dictionary, and it sounds like something you may be interested in. Speaking of, someone's at the door.
This is Brad Feldman, the voice of the New England Revolution. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary word of the day. That's word... Goal!
You may have heard me laugh earlier when Two-Gender handed it to me. It was in the background in the middle of nowhere. He came through. He's really disappointed more often than not in picking
these
out.
Maybe he should just not pay attention every week?
But I guess in reference to the incorrect return address on our present from Anthony, it's Alabama Alarm Clock. That's Alabama Alarm Clock.
Fred's like, how do you do that?
And it in the method of waking up a woman by sticking your blank in her ear.
Oh, here's the guy.
Rhymes with rock.
It's defensive end Greg White has changed his name to Styles.
It goes from Greg White, like as simple a name as you can get.
Styles G. White, and it's S-T-Y-L-E-Z. Styles. And he says the inspiration was from the Teen Wolf movie. Remember the Teen Wolf?
Yeah, that was Michael J. Fox, right?
Right, but his friend's name was Styles.
Yeah.
But that was Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, like, you know, otherwise it would have made sense.
Should I be – what was that email about Jackson? Is he really sick?
You didn't get it?
How would I get it? And why do you get it?
I thought he gave you a copy.
No, I gave him the Urban Dictionary word of the day.
Why are you giving me that? It's his kid.
Thought you'd read it.
I don't want to read private emails on the radio.
At 102.5 fever.
Let's see. Alejandro writes in, man, it's hard to root for those Bills. They just suck. I don't know the JP and JP Losman stood for Joe Pisarcik. Who the hell thought this guy was a first rounder? As for the Jets, they should worry because their tackling technique is very mediocre. Those Bills found holes to run all afternoon, well, at least for 57 minutes and 55 seconds. The way I see it, Denver will have the number 4 seed, so it's going to be Pats Jets in the opening round, either at Gillette or at the Meadowlands. My question, who could be more likely to pull the upset as a road team?
I don't necessarily think that that's...
Yeah, I don't know what...
That's accurate. I think the Jets lose... If the Jets lose, they're not guaranteed the wild card.
No. It would be... Well, I don't know. How does Baltimore and the Jets... Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I mean, I'd have to look at some of that. But Baltimore's conference record is pretty good. I mean, it's better than the Patriots. So I don't think the Jets are guaranteed anything with a loss. And same with Miami. Matter of fact, I know Miami lost to Baltimore head-to-head. So they obviously lose a tiebreaker with the Ravens. I think there's a good chance that the Patriots play the Jets, the Patriots being the wild card. The Patriots could be the 6 and the Jets could be 3, or Miami could be 3. And in either event, I would consider the Patriots the favorite. Andy and I were also talking about that this morning. Wouldn't you, Andy? You
sure. Agree? I get a global headache when I start thinking about all these possibilities.
Well, that's right.
It overwhelms me a little
don't
bit.
Don't think about the possibilities. Just say Patriots 6, Jets or Miami 3, Patriots go to 3.
Patriots at consider, Jets or Miami.
Would you consider the Patriots the favorite? I would.
As of right now, yes.
Right now, today, yes.
But that I need to also take into account what I said earlier, is I don't feel great about penciling in the Jets are the team that's been losing or the Patriots are the team that's been winning.
What team
I
would
think
you
it
rather
could change like that when Kurt Warner throws for 480 and both those guys go for 150.
Sure.
And the Jets go out and take
care of
business.
Yeah, but neither one of those teams have Kurt Warner.
What
so,
do you have
no, I know, but I'm just saying
no, but one
they
of them
have
has
quarterback.
Brett Favre.
Right. And so, one has Chad
Pennington. You don't know about Brett Favre. Yeah.
Any more so than you know about Kurt Warner?
I don't know about anything, and we're in week 16.
I think Warner is more of a quarterback that can hurt the Patriots now these days than Favre.
Why?
Did you just see what Favre did the last time he played the Patriots?
Ah.
Okay. Back to sound analysis for right. Fred Kirsch.
See, but I can accept that. I like that. I can accept. Who would you rather play?
Who would I rather
as
play?
As a Patriot, who would you rather play, Miami or
the Jets? I want to play the Jets just to stick
forget
it in.
Forget that. I'm talking about real analysis.
That's what I want.
Which team
Miami,
do they
I want to find.
Which team do they have a better chance of beating?
Miami,
I want to find.
9 times out of 10.
You can't just answer the question.
I want to find that Red Auerbach looking guy and Tannenbaum and say, see, I told you.
Well, the trouble is, I think those guys could say, see, I told
Brian
you to
Maury
you.
Fist pump?
Well,
you should want to play the Dolphins because you have a better chance of
I'm
beating
I'm not afraid of going up against a team that can beat me. I want to.
All right. Well, tell me this then.
Okay.
I'd rather win in advance.
If Baltimore loses to Dallas and the Patriots win out, and now you have the opportunity in all likelihood to watch the night game in week 17, which I think will be Dolphins at Jets. Hasn't been announced yet, but I think that's the game that will be flexed into the night game. Who are you rooting for?
Miami.
Knowing that the winner is the team that you're going to go and see the following week in the playoffs.
Well, then I want to go to Miami because it's warm. But
can you just not get an answer? The answer is Miami. It's got to be to me. Because I think
I think it's Miami, too, for a couple of reasons. One, I think it's negligible which team is better. I agree with Andy. I think the Jets are better.
Have more talent.
Yeah, I think they
I don't
are,
know that they're
I
better,
they
but they have more talent. That
but
means
I'd rather,
any day they can
I'd rather
up.
Play in good weather because I think the Patriots' defense can struggle in all weather. I think the Patriots' offense will be, I'm going to say it, unstoppable in good weather. This offense has completely turned the corner to me. I think that more often than not, against an average defense, they're going to put points on the board. And I think you have a better chance of doing that in Miami than you do in the Meadowlands.
I just want to have another chance to beat the Jets. Oh, God.
But they have another chance to beat you.
So what? Don't be a pussy.
Well, I'm not afraid of that. Unbelievable. I'm not afraid of that. I agree with you, Fred. If I want a chance to beat them, if I thought they – I'm just going to go strictly with my head here.
I'll put my pride in my back pocket and punch my ticket to the next round.
I think the
Dolphins, guys can want to pay the Jets all I want.
No,
if I'm a Patriot, I want to keep advancing because the more I advance,
that's why things
could happen, and I'm in a Super Bowl.
And that's why I want to play Miami because I think that gives you the better chance to advance.
And I don't care about my pride. I don't care about, stick it to Mangini. You know what I want to stick it to? The second round team, so I want to get there.
They'll beat either one of those teams.
Well, that may be, but I don't know for sure.
I think it's a toss-up, and I think I'd have more pleasure in beating the Jets.
And they'd have more pleasure in beating you.
Well, so would Miami. You don't think Joey Porter's going to be up for a game if he gets to play the Patriots again?
Sure he would.
Yeah, but I don't think Miami would win.
But they're not as good.
They beat you because they unleashed this trick thing that caught you with your pants so far down.
They beat a lot of other teams too, and not because of that.
But I'm talking about
the
Patriots and Dolphins.
As a matter of fact, that formation hasn't been overly successful in the last half of the season.
They've been winning because of their defense lately,
but not against the Patriots. The
Patriots put 48 up on them.
That's true.
So my point is, you got caught with your pants down once. Other than that, I think you're a much better team, and you match up okay with the Dolphins. I think the Jets can come in any day and beat you.
You smell what I smell? I smell a point counterpoint.
There you go. Let's see. TG and NJ says, guys, in the last 5 weeks, the Patriots' opponents have averaged 28.4 points. With the freakish injury state that the team's defense is currently in, you have to figure that the only way the Patriots can win is to outscore their opponents. Next up is Arizona, then Buffalo. Seems it's more plausible against Buffalo than Arizona, but this is the NFL. Anything can happen. So
7-6.
What do you think about that?
Outscore the opponent.
Only way the Patriots can win these days is to win a shootout.
It doesn't have to be a shootout, but the offense is going to lead them to victory.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win. I agree with the tenor of the email. I don't think they're going to win too many 17-13 games from here on in.
But you could go up 21-0, and that changes the complexion of the game, and it doesn't end up being a real shootout. But
like Sunday wasn't a shootout.
Right.
It was a high-scoring game, but it wasn't a shootout. It was the Patriots doing all the scoring. And then, like Andy said, you just kind of hold on and go from there. I think the same thing, quite frankly, could happen Sunday. I think that the Patriots could get a lead early in that game with Kurt Warner doing your thing.
Turtle.
And then, you know, I think that Bolden and Fitzgerald will get theirs in the second half, much like the Jets game when that game was over. You know, it was 34-0 at the half, and I know they got back within a score, but the game was never in doubt. And
what do you want me to tell you, Andy? We were within a score.
56-35, I think, was the final score of that game. It's not going to be that high scoring, but I could see the Patriots up around 38 in this game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, depending on how Kurt Warner plays, I think the maybe 24 if he plays terribly, 34 if he plays well.
I'm feeling good about this game. James Edwards says, I did some research, and I hope I have this right. Something unprecedented would have to happen to keep the Patriots out of the playoffs if they finish 11-5. The unprecedented thing that has to happen is for six teams in the same conference to finish 11-5 or better for the first time since the NFL expanded the schedule to 16 games in 78. There has been five teams finishing 11-5 or better in one or both of the conferences seven times since 78. So let's hope the Patriots do win out, and then one or two of the teams that the Patriots need to lose does so. Okay?
Yep.
Right with you.
Yep. Absolutely.
By the way, no coincidence. Who didn't play on Sunday, and they gave up a 56-yard catch-and-run touchdown?
Yeah, that was the only game that happened all year.
No, most of the others were over the top. There were a lot of over the top. That was a 56-yard catch-and-run of the truest sense. James Sanders would have stopped that play dead in its tracks.
Well, somebody should have.
And he would have.
That was wide open, man.
The wrong Sanders was on the field.
I think there have been a lot of catch-and-runs this year as well as over the tops.
Yeah, they caught him in stride, over the top.
No, I'm talking about...
That was a true catch and run.
Yeah. I think there have been some
others. Go
back
and show me all the ones James Sanders missed.
No, I didn't say anything about James Sanders.
Because you're a James Sanders hater. You don't have to hate.
I think he's a very good tackler. I just think that you think he's about 8,000 times better than he is. You got him with Ronnie Lott.
Ronnie Cott was way better. Lott was way better in coverage.
Okay.
John Howard talks about our Wes Welker conversation. He says, you guys argue about Wes Welker, how important he is, blah, blah, blah. I agree Welker is a better receiver because Moss scares defenses. However, T.O. would never do what Welker does, nor would Chad Johnson. Value is based on the rarity of an object. Looking at Welker, he is pretty rare. Great hands, great route runner, team player, smart, tough, and he does his job. No Ocho, no popcorn, no BS. To me, that is pretty rare. Wes Welker is not just the best slot receiver. He is one of the best receivers in the league, and he gives stats to kind of back
that up.
Can
I just ask a question here? And, again, I don't want to go into this, but what does it mean to say that T.O. wouldn't do what he – they're totally different positions.
Well, he wouldn't be as much a team player, I think he would. You know.
So what does that mean?
I actually kind of agree, and I think we're getting back to a psychological thing because T.O. is more gifted. And those gifted guys, I think, come with an air about them. Wes Welker didn't grow up with any air of he's a great receiver.
Is he saying that T.O. wouldn't be content to be a number two?
And to do the dirty work and catch little screens. He wants to make big
plays.
Then
I would agree with that.
But I think that comes with just about – 99% of great receivers who are physically that gifted don't want to do the crap. I think that's when you get a special. Like, I think Andre Johnson
is
one of those guys. Right. Because he's one of those top 1% receivers that were ever born. Wes Welker, in terms of physical ability,
is
not.
It doesn't mean that Terrell Owens is not a better receiver than Wes Welker, I hope, because please tell me we're not trying to make that statement.
Well, he might be, but.
Fred?
Over the last 2 years, Welker's been better.
Well, that's wrong, but okay.
Tobias,
if Welker does it for another seven, he might go in the Pro Football.
He might, might go in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Tobias from Sweden says,
"Troy's got to go though."
Two fun facts about Arizona: one, they are 0-4 outside the division since Week 6; two, since December 31st, 2001, Arizona has the same number of road wins outside the division as the Patriots have Super Bowl wins. When playing on the road outside the division, 0-2 to 0-8, they are 3-31, and their three victories are against the Bengals in November 18th, 2007, Bengals were 7-9. They beat the 4-12 Dolphins in 2004 and the 6-10 Panthers in 2002. It's just a fun fact.
There's no question if this is a battle of media and history and little press releases, Patriots win.
Yeah,
but the problem is, who's to say the Cardinals aren't becoming a good team?
They are.
Wiz and Hunt isn't building a winner in the desert. No one's going to compare histories because they've sucked for like 50 years.
Yeah, the first part of that statement I think is relevant. They're 0-4.
Right.
Their last four road games outside the division. That's relevant. But Ken Wisenhunt just got there last year, and they're trying to build something right now.
Fun facts.
But it's okay.
That's all.
If it's fun, I mean, the other stuff that they did when Dennis Green was the coach, and that doesn't really matter here. There's all different players and all different coaches.
Dan in Fairfax says, what is next week's schedule? I have the Christmas poem just about ready and wanted to find out when is the best day to send it in.
Yeah, what are we going to do next week?
Well, it's Monday. It's Tuesday, Wednesday. Right?
What time are we leaving? After the show on Wednesday?
Well, we got to get the paper done, right?
Yeah.
That's why I have to work Friday.
That's why we got to work Friday.
I don't know. I guess whatever. We'll figure it out then.
Okay. I'm just wondering. What are you going to get all defensive for? Budget's got to get done.
Paul looking for time off again. Here's where I jump ship.
Yeah, I'm looking for Christmas Eve off. Bob Cratchit over here.
Columnist for Indy Star? It's Kravitz.
Michael from Waterboro, Maine writes in. Hey, guys.
Icebro
Eric.
These days.
I realize you're in the middle of your show, but I just wanted to drop you a line to let you know what your show means to me. Here's another.
All right.
Yeah. The ice storm from last week has really been bad. I live in an area of Maine that has over 50% of customers still without power, and I'm beginning to think it may be another day or two before power is restored. I'm only able to reach you today because my school is still in session. The only thing that is getting me through today is the idea that I can sync my iPod up this afternoon and escape for 2 hours while listening to your take on Sunday's game and life in general. I wasn't able to watch much of the game on Sunday as we were staying with relatives who were kind enough to put us up for the night so my family and I could stay warm. What the F, J.P. Losman? Is it your hatred of Vince Wilfork that bad that you give the game to the Jets? I hope the Pats can come with the same intensity as they did against the Raiders against the Cards. I like the Patriots over the Cards if it comes to a shootout, but I have a funny feeling Coach Belichick is going to put together a game plan that is going to focus on ball control and limit the touches Arizona gets. We kind of agree with that. P.S., Andy, the teaching profession appreciates you getting out and not giving us a black eye on your already damaged reputation.
So. Wait, this guy's a teacher? I thought he was a student.
Well, maybe not. Maybe he's a teacher. Why did you assume that he was a student?
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth,
like
I will miss you.
The way he said that.
Oh, yeah, certainly at the end.
Let's see.
I like their chances in this game. I don't see the Cards putting together. The one thing I wrote in the preview, they're really looking for that signature road win. I don't see them doing it here in Foxborough.
I'll let you know.
Steve says he hasn't.
Midway through.
Thanks.
I think Warner is going to be telltale pretty early on. But I can't just say, well, because they haven't done it. I've seen this defense give up a lot of yards through the air. I
don't think that they're going to have the whole team come along with it. I think they could score some points. I'm not expecting the Patriots defense to shut them down.
No, they can't.
I'm not.
But
expecting
I think
that.
If they march right down the field and Warner's going pachoo, pachoo, pachoo.
But what happens
game,
if the Patriots
match.
Just get the ball and do the same thing?
I don't care about the Patriots. I care about Kurt Warner because I think he could turtle.
But isn't that what we do all the time? When they play a team that has a great offense, we assume that the other team is going to get the ball and go pachoo, pachoo, pachoo. And sometimes they do, but the Patriots can match that.
Right.
So why is the game over?
But if you want to ask me the matchup, I'll take the Cardinals against this defense if Kurt Warner's having one of those Kurt Warner.
So are you picking the Cardinals this week?
No.
Because you don't think he's going to
do
that?
I think he's
going to
turtle.
Warner's going to turtle.
All right.
I think you're going to see Mike Vrabel hitting him in the back, the ball going away. He's going to have a glove on his hand because when it's cold, he wears a glove. He's one of those you'd call him a PU.
So what would be
– what I think is – I think Kurt Warner could throw for 375 yards and four touchdowns, and the Patriots could still win the game.
What would be more encouraging to you, to see a game where the Patriots win by 16 points because Warner threw a couple interceptions key, or the Patriots win a shootout?
More encouraging to me?
I think the first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, see, I think the Patriots defense has little control over this game. I think Mother Nature has a lot of control, and whatever goes on in Kurt Warner's head. I think he's soft.
I agree with Andy on that. I do think he's soft.
Yeah, he's a little.
There he is, softy.
He's on the TV at this point. Steven from UK says, haven't written for a while, thought I'd weigh in. Boy, do the Raiders suck. Seattle may have a worse record, but they at least look like a team and played a solid game. The Raiders just look plain terrible. I was worried about my screen doors getting smashed by Russell's wayward throws, and that's all the way over in foggy England. Speaking of England, I went to a motor racing event at Wembley Stadium on Sunday, and man, was that venue impressive. I'm sure a few listeners made it to the previous NFL games over here, and I'm sure they'll agree that having the Pats in London will be awesome. Only 300 or so sleeps until October 25th. I'm driving my wife berserk already. Finally, I want to add my voice to those who've gotten something more than just entertainment from your fruity little show.
Hey, that's just Eric.
Between last August and November, I lost my job and my dad and then ended up in hospital in a bad, bad way. A lot of love and friendship got me through, but a major part of that was having 2 hours a day of you guys to listen to good medicine. Well, that's nice. It really is.
We appreciate it.
My personal highlight was Eric's return from Egypt after Andy in particular had been ripping him hard. You weren't expecting him on the show, and he suddenly turned up. I swear I thought I was going to hear bullets. I remember thinking, is this it? Is this where I witness a massacre? Wow. Who will I be able to sue? Anyway, that's all for now. Thanks again, and keep on keeping on.
So I've yet to been shot at.
So it's good to...
which is somewhat amazing.
Another
nice story, though. Our emailers are really making us feel good in the holiday season.
It's nice on our end.
No,
it's not nice the story that leads to all these.
You know what I meant. That we're able to, at least have people have an escape from real problems.
William Barry about T.O.
They're laughing with us or at us.
That could be. You never know.
He says,
they're buying this crap.
We were talking about T.O. before, and William Barry says, the majority of the stuff I've heard about T.O. is through ESPN. Yes, T.O. is nuts, but how much is ESPN blowing it way out of proportion?
Well, I'm sure they are because that's what they do, but he's nuts. I mean, they didn't blow it out of proportion when he started crying and said, that's my quarterback. He's nuts.
For the three different teams that he's done it to, it was all the media blowing it out of proportion.
Right.
And I have no defense for ESPN. I do think they exploit this stuff.
Yeah. As they should.
But
it's their business.
Like Ed Werder, and we were talking about the clip on YouTube that Mike Florio had on Pro Football Talk where they're trying to do a stand-up with Ed Werder and there's a Cowboys fan heckling him, calling him a hack journalist.
By the way,
Ed Werder didn't do anything wrong.
Anyone who hasn't seen that yet, it's on YouTube. Just look up Cowboy Chris or something
like that. Yeah. It's definitely worth a search. It's very funny. But Ed Werder had enough guys that have given him quotes to say that these altercations took place. T.O. can get up there after the game and say that everything is fine and that Ed Werder made it up. That doesn't mean that he made it up.
Right.
There's enough guys that have commented directly saying that, you know, these guys feel like they can't do anything because he's crazy and we're going to need him and right. no one can say anything to him. You can't make that up.
Ed Werder is a lot more of a reliable source than T.O. T.O. has no credibility. The man is nuts.
That's my quarterback.
He's nuts.
It would have been better, though, if it was Sal Palantonio being heckled.
Yes.
He's so paranoid.
Because I don't know Ed Werder, T.O. but Sal Pal is it.
Yeah, we know that we don't like Sal Pal. We don't, you know, we're pretty sure we don't like Ed Werder, but we never really met him.
I don't have anything against Ed Werder. What did he ever do to you?
I said I never met him.
Kay writes in, while we were all looking
Sal Pal never did anything to me either, but
he's a
I heard about that whistling comment. That was enough for me.
And he you know, was mean
to
Eric.
Got mouthy with Eric, yeah.
That's right. Only we can get mouthy
Eric's
with Eric.
Eric's sort of one of us.
Eric actually flipped off to him. So I for once, Eric stood up for himself.
Kay writes in, while we're all looking at the Ravens, Jets, and Dolphins for a path to the playoffs for the Patriots, there is another path no one is even considering.
Against
Thursday night
games.
When the Colts go to Jacksonville, they should Colts lose that game. The Colts are now faced with winning at home against the Titans in the season finale. It's not out of the realm of possibility that the Colts lose both games, ending the season with a 10-6 record, putting the Pats in the playoffs at 11-5.
I think
I just don't see the Colts will.
I think it's out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. I just think the Colts are hitting their stride. Although they did struggle a little bit on Sunday. Yeah.
Their stride is not their stride from previous years.
Right. No, if but one,
their stride is relative to 2008.
They're not going to lose to an inferior team, I don't think.
They've won 7 in a row? I think it's 7 in a row they've won. And they haven't looked overly impressive in any of them. Maybe one here or there, but they do what they need to do to win. And I think that they'll do what they need to do to win both of these games.
Strippers writes in for the forecast, according to weather.com, on Sunday, snow showers, highs in the upper 20s and lows in the low 20s.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. Right. With about a 12-mile-an-hour wind, which is maybe more important than anything else.
And which here will be somehow 58, because it's always windy here.
It's very swirling.
Swirling wind. Turtle Warner.
Joel Merrimack, New Hampshire. Hope your day's going well. I'm stuck at work today, so I cannot listen live. I thought about trying to call in, but I'm afraid that two gender would just screw me over again and hang up on me.
Probably.
Twice last week I tried to call, and both times I was foiled by Mr. Incompetent. Man, do I miss Gary. Now you don't have your microphone on.
We can't
it
hear
was,
you.
It was because you forgot to say
you.
That he was on the phone.
He didn't blame me.
It's true.
I had to miss the game this weekend due to a power outage, which I am still in the grips of. From the highlight clips I watched, it was a good game. Well, that is a good game if you are a Patriots fan. I'm still of the opinion that the only way we will get into the playoffs is as a wild card. And it looks that that Baltimore might have helped us out. Now we just need Dallas to actually win an important game, and I think the Pats can take care of the rest of it. The Cards already have their spot locked up, and it was obvious that they weren't focused on the Vikings game. I don't see them putting up too much of a fight this weekend. And as for the Bills, well, I think we can all depend on Dick Geront to screw things up. And even without Dick blowing it, don't get too excited, Eric. I can't say it.
Eric? Andy almost fell off his chair.
I don't think that they can run against us, and I'm sure as hell don't think Losman can beat us. So all in all, I'm pretty happy. I just hope that we have the power back this weekend so I don't have to miss another game. Have a great one, guys.
What's Trent Edwards' situation? I was under the impression he'd be back for that game.
I don't know.
Does anybody know?
I thought he was going to be back 2 weeks ago.
And that was the first game he missed.
Yeah.
He's missed the last two games.
He was back. Then I thought he was going to be back because I remember hearing a thing out of Buffalo. He may play and then didn't. And then this week he didn't.
I thought that they had said that he was going to miss the last game and had a chance to come back. But maybe he doesn't. I don't know.
Boy, Dick Geron's really taken a hit of late, huh? I mean, people used to think he was a pretty well-respected, good guy, coach, you know,
did you see what
stable.
See what Ralph Wilson is saying? Because the word is, I mean, they offered him a contract extension. It was a media thing, you know, early in the season when they were doing well, that a lot of people felt that he was set to sign an extension. And then they didn't hear about it, and then they started losing, and people were like, oh, Geron should have signed that extension. Well, the word is now he has signed the extension.
It's a very complex proposal.
And Ralph Wilson is sort of saying, I wish he hadn't in Buffalo. So I don't think Dick Geron's a very good coach. I think that he's done a good job of kind of turning things around, but I don't think he's a really, really good coach. I don't know how you guys feel about
it. I always thought he was a decent coach.
I don't think he's a terrible coach. I think he's just one of the many that kind of in the middle.
It's hard to tell because, you know, we don't follow them the way we follow the Patriots. But I do know, you know, he gets some respect from other people in the league. So I just assume by that, he must be
all
right.
That's kind of how I went. Yeah. And I never really saw him do it.
Right.
Like, when I saw him in person, first of all, I didn't just jump off the bandwagon like I did with Mike Mularkey, who was a clown. Dick Duron is not a clown. And you're right. Other people seem to give him respect, so I figured, hey, he's a decent coach.
Yeah. By the way, my son Connor had a bag of lollipops, and he offered me one last night. He said, blow pop. I said, how dare you?
He calls you pop?
Well, no. You idiot.
He gets mad.
Give me one.
He gets all mad.
Give me one. Call him Fat Mouth. Come on.
He just he doesn't get
Can't
the
you
joke.
Just give me what I need?
I got the joke, but I kind of took it to a next step. You're old enough to be Pop. Pop Kirsch. That movie looks interesting. That just caught your attention and brought the show to a screeching halt.
I noticed as I was talking, I said to myself, I better just keep going here because Fred's not paying attention.
What is that from the same guy as...
It looks like it from 300 and from...
the other one I like. I can't think of it either.
City of Sins.
No.
Sin City.
Sin City. City of Sins. I was like, that doesn't sound quite right.
Jeff from Canada, do you think there's any advantage for the Pats having the Cardinals traveling from west to east and having to play an early game, which would be 11 a.m. Arizona time? I'm not sure of the record, but West Coast teams playing on the East Coast in the early game this year haven't fared too well.
They have one win.
Yes.
San Francisco at Buffalo.
And by the way, the last emailer alluded to, they clinched the division and looked like they packed it in. That's what Ken Wisenhunt was saying. I was reading a bunch of stories where he was quoted as saying it looked like we took the week off. And he goes, I didn't sense it during the week, but I noticed it during the game. Well, then you didn't really notice it. Because if you had noticed it during the week, you would have noticed it during the week.
Right.
You just take the result and say we took the week off.
You know, we really didn't get to talk too much about it, but Chris asks, should Mayo, Moss, Welker, and Castle all go to the Pro Bowl, or will they all get snubbed? Who deserves to go more?
They won't all get snubbed. I think Welker should go. I think Mayo should go.
I don't think necessarily it would be snubs. But I don't think all of those guys are going. I don't think Mayo should go.
I don't think both the receivers can
go. Well, you got to look at the competition. Who else in that position is up for it? And, you know.
Yeah, I think one of the receivers is a lock in my head.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if they split the vote.
I really think one of the receivers is a lock. And if that's the case, I think Welker should go because I think he had a better year than Moss.
He definitely should go. But I think they could both get snubbed.
Yeah, I think Welker goes.
They could split
I think
the vote.
Gostkowski goes.
I think after that, it's.
I'm not sure.
I mean, Mayo's had a terrific rookie year, but I don't know. It's hard for
a rookie to get.
And a rookie without really any signature standout plays. Yeah. And I don't mean that as being disrespectful.
I know what you're saying.
You know,
we don't have
those plays that you can put a highlight reel together and say, wow, look at that, look at this.
Aside from the goal line stop,
you know,
Ray
Lewis.
Think of one.
Okay, I know that Ray Lewis is. He's always going to go. You know he's going because it's going on reputation. But even Sunday at that big blitz up the middle with the sack of Roethlisberger, Mayo doesn't have those plays that you can kind of point to as an inside linebacker. So I don't necessarily think he's going to go. I think one of the defensive linemen has a shot. Will Fork, Seymour, one of those guys.
I think Will Fork's
going to go. I don't think there are a ton of Pro Bowlers in this team. I think Castle deserves consideration. I think that the emailer brought up Castle. Here's the thing I was saying to Andy, Fred. Do you know who the best the best season in the AFC, actually, maybe in the NFL, but the best season in the AFC for quarterbacks, you know who's having it? And it's really not even close. You know who's leading the league in passing?
Flacco.
No. Philip Rivers.
Oh, that's right. I should have known.
Speaking about not even being
He's
close.
Having a tremendous
that was
on
TV
season.
The other night.
He's having a tremendous statistical season. Yeah. He's got a great rating, throwing for a ton of yards. You know, his numbers across the board are excellent, but his team is terrible.
Yeah.
And I think Castle deserves to go over a guy like Philip Rivers, even though Philip Rivers deserves to go. He's having a great year. But to me, if it were between those two guys, I would take Castle. Castle's numbers are solid, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, his numbers are very – I was looking today.
I mean,
he's like third or fourth.
If he has big games, he could be over 4,000 yards.
Yeah, I don't think he's
going to But he has to have real big games.
What, if he throws for like
350 each.
350?
Yeah.
Oh, that's possible then.
Yeah, he needs about 700-800 yards.
For
4,000.
I don't think he's going to go. I think it's going to be Cutler, Rivers, and Manning.
Manning is obvious. I mean, Manning may – if they win those last two games, Manning might walk away with another MVP, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with that.
But Manning is a lock. Cutler's numbers okay, Andy? I mean, he kind of rebounded from that little
decent dip
that he took.
I don't think they're great. I didn't look at him closely, but I think he's going to end up.
Castle might be in trouble then. If Cutler's numbers are that good, it's going to be hard for those voters to keep Rivers out.
And then you don't know if Roethlisberger gets votes because of kind of like what you turned to me and said, he does what he needs to do when he needs to do it.
He had a
bad stretch there.
Against that defense on the road, he did all through the air.
I got to think he gets a lot of respect from players and coaches.
I think that, you know, can we for once and for all end that little debate as to whether or not he's a great quarterback?
Yeah,
Eric's not here, but a lot of Patriots fans think that he's very overrated. Can we end that?
He's pretty good. Yeah. Absolutely. I want to get to this one email. I'm a Marine stationed up here in Camp Pendleton, California, just north of San Diego, and I've been listening for about a year. And yes, I did attend the San Diego disaster earlier this year for the low, low price of, well, I'm not telling, but that's the last time I buy tickets in May for a game I think is going to be between two undefeated teams. Anyway, I'm digressing. I'm originally from Gainesville, Florida, so I'm also a huge Gator fan. That being said, I'd like to get your thoughts on a Gator coming out this year. Now, I know that Chad Jackson debacle has left a bad taste in your mouth, but keep in mind he was a Ron Zook recruit, not Urban Meyer. And before you dismiss this as pure Florida homerism, hear me out. I think Percy Harvin could really be that do-everything player for the future of the Pats, taking the role of Kevin Falk. He can line up in the backfield as a scat back runner or in the slot as a receiver, and he would be a better and more consistent third option than Jabbar, Look Mom, No Hands, Gaffney. He can even line up outside against corners. The one knock against him is he has bad ankle, which he has operated on last offseason, but still missed two games this year because of it. Now, I realize this has about 3% chance of happening considering Belichick and Pioli's draft history, but I thought I'd throw it out there. And then he gets into some other – we don't want to get into
the draft history.
I think it has a better chance of happening because of Pioli and Belichick's draft history. They like Urban Meyer.
And I think he'd be a good fit here. I don't know what his value is. I think he's a pretty good player, and I think he's right. He could fill, moving forward, a lot of roles as a – third down player, out of the backfield, in the slot, a lot of different roles.
And remember, Andy, during training camp when Bill talked about the sort of added starting positions, third receiver, third and fourth cornerbacks, situational pass rushers. I think this is another one of those. That third down kind of jack of all trades, Darren Sproles type, I think is taking on added importance. And Kevin Falk, let's face it, even though Andy had him on the retirement line about 3 years ago, he's still playing great football, but at some point he's going to hit the end of the road. And Percy Harvin, and we got John Rook here too, who's in tune with the college game.
I mean, I try to be anyway.
He's as athletic and dynamic as anybody, isn't he?
Who's this?
Not you.
Specific.
Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin.
I thought you were throwing me a little plaudit there.
Percy Harvin.
Percy Harvin. Yeah, I just.
He didn't go to Texas.
No, sorry. No, didn't play in the Big 12. We'll be back with more in a minute.
That's true. Back after this. I think he's a nice talent. I'm not talking about
a top five pick or anything.
No, I don't think he's a top five kind of guy.
If he's in the third round, I'll take him.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, I thought he might be a second round guy.
Well, he might be. That's why I said I don't really know his value. But if he's there in the third, I'll take him.
Sure.
You have two twos. Maybe I'm a little second two.
I would be a little bit worried about his durability.
Are we thinking Chad Jackson redo here?
Well, that's what they...
But I think he's a different player.
How so?
I think he's versatile. I mean, Chad Jackson apparently had one thing. He was straight line fast.
I thought Chad Jackson also was like a kick returner type kind of guy, too, when he first got here.
Not really.
No?
No.
They tried him in that role a lot.
But even if Percy Harvin doesn't return any kicks, I think he's more versatile just on offense.
Well, I will tell you this.
He can run the ball from scrimmage. He can catch it. He can line up as a wideout.
Percy Harvin has been getting much more play, much more run from the Florida people and from those who cover Southeastern Conference football, more so than I can recall Chad Jackson getting when he was at Florida.
Yeah, I would agree.
That's true.
So in that regard, in fact, I heard a couple of the ESPN guys, and take that for what it's worth this year, but they thought that Percy Harvin should have gotten some Heisman consideration because of his all-round ability. So because of that, I'm thinking, well, is he a first-round guy? And then the guys that I talk to, I mean, and you guys know I'm decent friends with Mel Kiper, and he says, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think he's a first-round
And if
pick,
he is, then I want no part of him.
I'd be interested in him in the middle to low second-round or third-round pick would be ideal.
I think that'd be perfect.
And while we're at it, we should mention Chris Mortensen was asked about the Heisman candidates and Tim Tebow specifically, and talking to people around the league, quote-unquote, which I have no idea what that means, said there's a lot of buzz that he would be the perfect fit as a New England Patriot because of his versatility. And so he's claiming people in the league, other GMs or whatever, are telling him Tim Tebow could be a Patriot.
I could see. I'd love that. That'd be great.
I think it'd be fun, but again, I'm not taking him in the first round.
No. But he's not a first-round pick.
If he came out this year and was a second-round pick, I'd take him. Because I think Bill would have a field day. I've thought he's been looking for a guy like
that.
I
got to tell you, for everything that I think of see of Tim Tebow, and I think he's the kind of guy you would want your own son to grow up and be in terms of a football player and all the right possibilities.
Fred's not buying
Fred doesn't buy that.
You don't think so, Fred?
No, Fred thinks he's got skeletons.
He saw his big boob girlfriend once and thinks he's like drinking and
slutting
all over the internet.
Fred, he may be saying all the right things, you know, praise Allah or Jesus or whatever, but
praise
you know what? He's not blind.
That's true.
He's a junior in college, for God's sake.
That's for sure.
Okay.
And Florida.
And even if he were blind, Braille would work.
He is the BMOC.
Oh, right? Yeah, absolutely.
And so, I mean, come on. Give the kid a little credit here.
When you wear it on your sleeve like that, I don't.
All right, I agree. Yeah. I totally agree with you. I think sometimes you can go a little overboard with that, you know, Jesus God thing.
I'd like to see any one of us turn down that girl.
Oh, no way.
I don't care what our image was.
I'm not convinced.
Sorry, Seth.
I'm right. I'm married, and I'm throwing my ring.
And I'll tell you what. If I get her, I'll thank God. All right.
No, I thought that was like.
I'll be here all night.
I thought that was. Oh, God.
All right. Well, that's John Rook, obviously, and his show is coming up, Patriots Playbook. We got to go do our TV show. We'll see you tomorrow.